B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, how's your Wednesday morning going? Oh, it's just starting? That's fine. You're with the John Kincaid Show. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, our 6 a.m. hour, brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters, because Bradford White is here for the pro. If you are watching on our YouTube channel, or if you listen intently, you will hear the alarms going off, because there's a fire alarm going off.
Yeah, they just got done watching the Sixers game from the other night, and they decided to pull them.
The alarms are pulled. Pat, anybody around here responsible for that? Anybody? Not you? Well, I can see Lower Marion police are here.
Oh, good.
Lower Marion fire.
Yeah. Maybe it's not a test.
No, they're walking around. They're walking around. We're fine. I don't know.
I texted our neighbors down the hallway and didn't get a response. So I'm wondering if they're evacuated.
Yeah. Well, no. Peter and Stan. Should there be a fire breakout? Pat, did I hear it? There's like slides that immediately, like the windows open of their studio, and then Peter and Stan slide down first.
Correct.
And then the rest of the crew is allowed to follow behind them.
It's like the Titanic. You know, they had the classes.
right.
We're at the bottom of the boat.
So yeah.
We're getting on then?
We're the rats.
We're the guy that hits the propeller.
That's what it's... Yeah.
Not now, Billy Zane.
That's what we're looking at here.
Yeah, sorry.
So
sorry,
Peter and Stan are fine.
I mean, the list of suspects shouldn't be too long. There's about 15 people in the building right now.
How about Andrea or at the country music station? She's on one of the first boats out.
She got an award last week.
Yes.
She's out.
So she's on one of the first boats
she
out.
She gets escorted out in a Ford F-150.
What about DeBella?
As they yell, let's get after it.
What about DeBella? DeBella's got to have his own, there's got to be his own rescue pod or something.
Yeah, he is an
for
escape
John
DeBella. Pod.
I mean, John DeBella,
been here forever. He's got an escape pod.
You're a Hall of Fame. So.
We have Connor.
They're going to be outside going, did we forget somebody?
Now, Cousin Ryan, who is a fireman and understands the area well and our building well, he says the building is sprinklered. You'll be just fine.
Oh, okay.
He said that's how you'd know if it was a real fire.
I wasn't really concerned.
The sprinkler would be going off. I don't know. I don't like it. I find it extremely distracting when that strobe light's going off.
Yeah, it's the light more than the noise.
Yeah, it reminds me of Tom Bigby.
I hate it. I heard about that legend.
The late, great Tom Bigby.
The phone that would light up.
Yeah, but he had a phone line, and his phone line sent that off.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Because he wanted you to know, as a host, that he was calling Pat, who's running the show. So the boss was calling the show. That's what you would see. The strobe light going off. So you're on the air, and you realize the boss is calling the producer to say he's not happy about something.
That's not distracting
at all.
So
then you see that light go off.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, jeez. Tom, God rest your soul. You're an awesome genius. Got to say that. We get ready to have getaway day today on the John Kincaid Show. We are leaving for the draft this afternoon. We'll be flying out. And we look forward to being with you live from Las Vegas on Thursday and Friday morning. And that is going to be an absolute blast. We are so, so excited for it. And Jamie, it's your final exam coming up tomorrow. We're calling it 8:05 a.m. tomorrow morning. Oof. Jamie's final exam. Now, on the night before a final exam, Pat, I got to ask you first. Jamie, up till dawn cramming? Jamie going to bed going, I think I got this. Everything's going to be okay.
I think I got this. Everything is going to be okay.
That's my guess too, Bob, is that Jamie would say, well, I've done my homework. I've done things. I'm not going to stay up till 5
There's
in the morning.
There's nothing more he can do. He's done it all. All the work has been put in. All the studying has been done. There's been extra behind the scenes work done that we don't even know about. So I don't think there's anything more Jamie can do.
I'll probably change it about 5 or 6 times on the flight.
On the flight.
Yeah.
Now, Bob,
and then call it a day.
Okay, in college, how were you?
Oh, procrastination is where I thrive.
No, but for an exam.
Oh, cram the night before.
You were cramming, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Now, we all got that wrong, though.
Yeah, I was a crammer in college.
I never would have thought you to be a crammer.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I could not work ahead. I worked better under pressure.
Well, you're
and
gonna
late nights.
You're gonna have plenty of that today. I worry about the person in like 27D that's next to you.
I think Pat is actually the row behind me.
That's gonna hear Pat. You're gonna hear nothing but crinkling of paper the entire time.
No, I have headphones. I'll be all right.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, by the way, bring your own headphones.
Yeah,
forget your headphones.
Oh, wait a minute. I hadn't heard that 25 freaking times.
Yeah, bring it because they just have so much stuff to bring already that they can't bring
the headphones.
Anything else.
Okay, we're bringing our headphones with us. So the news being when here's again, I want you to put your BS meters on. When prominent NFL insiders, and by the way, Adam Schefter joins us later, when ESPN's NFL draft show on NFL Live, when the NFL Network's NFL draft coverage all say the Eagles are the team that is most aggressively trying to move up in the draft. It feeds what I've thought weeks and weeks ago, where I said, I don't believe they're picking at 15 and I don't believe they're picking at 18. I think they're moving up and moving back. And when I hear ESPN and NFL Network both go with the same narrative and they're pushing it hard, either Howie's doing the greatest bit of subterfuge, but it seems like other organizations are saying the Eagles are calling. They're trying to get up. What are they trying to get up for?
I think it's Sauce Gardner, if I had to guess. I think they value that as a premier position in the league and one they want to get youth at. If I had to guess, it would be that. Probably secondary would be Kyle Hamilton and Kayvon Thibodeau. Those would what I think would be my top three move-up targets.
The only thing is with Thibodeau, aren't you waiting for the slide or not?
Yeah, probably.
Because he could slide to six, they're saying.
Yeah.
As far as six, seven.
Six is a good area to get if you want whoever you want. That's probably where you have to get if you want one of those three. Like, if that's you, if you're hell-bent on one of those guys, say it's Sauce, you're going to have to get to six.
They're saying Carolina, Seattle, and Atlanta, all in that neighborhood, have all discussed moving out, Bob. They've all discussed that six, seven, eight range, have all said, yeah, we'd be willing to move.
Yeah,
I don't believe the Giants would. I don't believe the Giants would trade with them.
I don't think so.
Even though last year,
not after last year.
Even though last year the Eagles did trade with the Cowboys.
Yeah, and the Giants were pissed off.
Yeah, they were pissed.
I do lean towards Eagles moving up. I do, and Sauce Gardner is the guy that, and then we said this a couple weeks ago, is the guy that I would really want to move up for. It's going to be fun. You're moving back part too.
How about this one? I'll guarantee it. I'll put a capital G on it that if they move up in this draft, they are moving back from 18.
And I think if they did that, David Ojabo is a guy they would probably target.
Yeah, but you can get him in the second round, they're saying.
Late first, early second. Something like that. Depends where you move back, right?
Like 20.
Or maybe it's George Pickens.
I'd love it. I'd seen anywhere from like 28 to 35 for Ojabo.
Yeah.
Or 40.
The guy that gets devalued because of injury, and that's why Jamison Williams, I think, has their eye a little bit, too. Sure. I think they love that.
I think I'm leaning towards it's Jamison Williams that they want.
I have notes, you know, my whole draft note, and one of the things I wrote 2 weeks ago in bold letters up top to remind myself was Jamison Williams will be one of the picks.
I'm believing it now that it's that they're moving up for, because I don't think anybody who is in a position to take Sauce Gardner is going to let him go.
Probably not. You're probably going to have to go really high to get, and six is a pretty good number. Maybe that's not good enough.
It might not guarantee it.
It might not be good enough, right?
Yeah. You have no idea how the top five is going
to
go.
Even though it does look like all the Malik Willis to the Lions talk appears to be nonsense. That Malik Willis is not going in the top two, which for like a couple weeks was chatter. That the Detroit Lions are not taking Malik Willis at two.
Well, if that happens, I'm probably going to lose my bet with you.
Yes. I would say that's not. Yeah, but the thing is, though, other quarterbacks, if the Eagles move up, you're not winning the bet.
No.
And you didn't. And it's not really a bet
because you didn't have to risk anything.
It's that this is going to be a wild countdown to this. And, Pat, when do you expect? Do you expect that we're going to, like, tomorrow? Let's say we're on the air tomorrow morning at 3:09 in the morning. From Las Vegas. Do you think we're going to have already heard about trades up? Or do you think it's one of those things where the night of we're going to be hearing about teams making moves like an hour before the draft or during the draft?
I think it's during the draft. I think at this point, if you were going to move up, you probably would have already done it. I don't remember the last time there was a draft trade 24 hours before the draft. Usually at that point, you're kind of playing chicken with the other team. So if they're going to move up, I think they want to see how the board plays out, and then, you know, how he will look to strike.
I'm really wondering how we... Now, Bob said he's got this under control. I'm absolutely... I think I'm going to be... It's going to be very split attention with me on the draft and Sixers.
I will be crushing Twitter.
And right now, too.
Wait, you're going to be looking at Twitter, not tweeting.
Probably following the draft up 1 through 10, mostly on the, like, I'll know when the draft's coming, so then I'll turn my attention. I'll use Twitter as my indicator to go back to the draft and probably focus on the Sixers.
I too, know that we have to navigate where we're going to be able to huddle to watch.
Yeah.
Because I think most of the places are going to be showing the draft.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the draft is literally make a right outside of our hotel, go down the block to go. I was thinking, I'm going to go watch the draft. But now that the Sixers are playing.
Sixers really screwed us.
They really did.
Yeah.
Because now I can't not watch the draft. I can't not watch the Sixers.
I could technically watch the Sixers out at the draft on my phone, but then that's not. Yeah.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No, this is really weird. But Bob said, you're like, you can focus on two things.
Sure you can.
No, cool you're thing, good at, you're a good, what you're saying is you're good at that. I'm not.
So the Sixers action just is continuous, right? You have to watch your eye on Sixers. The draft, you know when it's coming. So, okay, 8 minutes until the pick. I can watch 8 straight minutes of the Sixers. And then you keep an eye on the pick. Oh, Jacksonville did this. Okay, back to the Sixers.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be very difficult at all.
Yeah.
You don't?
No.
It'll only get difficult if a bunch of trades start popping and happening.
Yeah. It's so funny, though, that none of you guys seem the least bit concerned, and I'm completely concerned because I focus on the draft, but I really want to know what the hell the Sixers are doing.
You'll see me like this, scrolling and watching, and I'll just follow the draft mostly on my phone until it becomes Eagles territory.
It's going to be...
And then if we hear the music and the trade up... And it's
we need live video of this too, so because I can only imagine like when Jamie gets the word that the trade has gone up, what does Jamie do? Does he chug something? Does he
possibly
take his pants off?
He can't do that. We're in public, Pat.
Just a grown man,
Pat.
Start pacing around.
Could happen.
I pace a little bit when they're on the clock.
You are a pacer,
a little bit. Not like crazy, but I get a little anxious.
A little bit of anxiousness. So,
we're sitting like, say we're sitting at an establishment watching both.
I would probably just lap the table twice, drink a beer.
You get up, get a little breather.
You have to get up when the Eagles are about to pick?
Yeah, probably.
Now, I would wonder too, Bob, is a Sixers game.
Beer in hand.
Too. It was weird though, in passing, and I wrote it down yesterday. Bob was like, it's fine. We can do two things at once. And it was very, very weird because... It just happened to be part of the time when my daughter was watching it. She goes, Dad can't. And she said to me later, she goes, Bob said, yeah. He goes, oh, it's easy. We can do two things at once. We'll show you. And she goes, Dad can't.
First,
like that focus.
First Sixers game I ever covered as the beat writer, I think regular season game or maybe it was game one of 1 year, whatever. The Phillies were in the World Series against the Yankees.
Okay.
Had it on a TV right there.
Geez.
I'm sitting courtside, and I knew exactly what was going on with the Phillies.
And you're,
too, sure.
And you're writing
and
a game
writing.
Story.
Absolutely.
And you're writing. I can't. See, now, that's very difficult to me. And I guarantee there's guys in the audience right now going, when I see someone have I've got the 3 TVs set up on
Sunday.
Oh, I do
that, yeah.
Completely makes me anxious. I don't look at it and say envious. I look at it as anxious.
Huh.
When I see somebody with the TVs,
yeah, I put the red
side,
zone on one,
don't
and
like it.
The main
don't
game
like
on the big one.
I just want to make a point of saying that it was a lot easier for Bob to do that because it was the Eddie Jordan team.
Well, that's
so
the
you
truth.
You didn't exactly have to be dialed in there, Bobby, to be paying attention to the Sixers, and you probably looked for a welcome distraction anyway.
Did Bob write the game stories, you think, before the game? And then just insert who was the villain that
probably
night.
Probably easy to predict.
And then just insert a couple quotes.
That was the Royal Ivy piece night.
Oh!
Yeah.
No, that was the night that the team comes out on the floor, and I'm like, oh, God, where's Drew Holiday? Is he hurt? And Drew Holiday comes out with a suit jacket, 8 sizes too big for him, because Eddie Jordan, out of nowhere, decided not to play their number 1 draft pick on opening night.
And why?
And Drew,
I remember that.
And Drew Holiday sitting there, and we caught eyes, and I'm like, I look at him, what's going on? He's, I don't know. And he didn't anticipate it. He had to borrow some 7-footer suit jacket to wear a little kid on the bench.
Samuel Dallenberg.
Was it
it wasn't Dallenberg, but it was some 7-footer.
I remember that
story. He came from Milwaukee. Yeah.
Was it disciplinary?
No. He didn't tell him until before the game. The players were even stunned. I remember talking to Elton or somebody about it, and they're like, yeah, we had no idea that was coming. We thought he might even start.
Eddie Jordan setting the tone.
Yeah. He was
not going to come in here and be a first-round pick and just be given minutes.
He was,
he'll borrow a suit.
Hey, the weather right now in Jamaica is warm and sunny. Call your travel agent or go to visitjamaica.com to learn more. Let's go. You'll love going to Jamaica. It is a great, great time. So we will be all over the Eagles draft. We're going out to Vegas. We will be there. We will be on top of it all. Obviously, it is going to be a lot of fun. Now, Pat, can you tell everybody a little bit about who's filling in for you and Jamie tomorrow?
Yeah, it will be Connor Thomas, our own, so you can finally go meet Connor Thomas. He'll be wearing a T-shirt two sizes too small and might be giving some out as well.
A medium.
Yeah, and then Hunter Brody as well. So those two guys will be holding down the fort at Rivers Casino tomorrow for the Sixers watch party. It's a great time. Stop on by. They have really, really good Sixers gifts to give out.
We gave them
out before the game and then after the first quarter, after the second quarter. To give you an idea, but they might change it up. But yeah, it should be a good time.
Should be a really, really good time. Everybody check that out. If you were going to Las Vegas, had two people that I responded to this morning on social media. If you're going to Vegas and you want to come to our parties, go to Philly Sports Trips. PhillySportsTrips.com. There is space for you to join either party, the pre-draft party, which honestly, we will end up into, we're going to do
it's
some.
Probably just going to end up being a 9-hour party.
It's going to be good.
And then, I'll be ready, blondies.
There's the pre-draft party, and then there is the party the next day on Friday afternoon leading up to round two.
Second and third round day is fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Well, the hard part, though, for me is just the idea of, okay, where are my expectations shifted and what's
yeah.
the plan now?
You develop your new targets that you'd like to see on day two, and you pray for the best, and it's going to be fun.
Okay, the same NFL insider, who, by the way, I think he's used it on his job, but I don't know, so I'm not going to just give it to you. He goes, he sent me the exact same text yesterday. What if I told you the Eagles only come out of the first round with one player selected and with the double eyeballs?
Then it better be Sauce or Thibodeau in my book.
Where? Didn't he have double eyeballs on something? What was the other one?
It's the exact same one. He sent it to me again. He goes again, and he sent the same exact text to me.
My first reaction is but if it's Sauce Gardner, I'm okay.
Okay, you'd be giving up. I was trying to do the math last night. So let's say you wanted to get, where are we trying to get to, six?
Yeah, let's say six.
Okay, we're going 15 to six. You're giving up this year's two, and you're giving up a three at some point. That's a lot of real estate.
You have two threes this year.
Okay, so you're giving up a three and this year's two.
Whew.
So then the 18th pick, I believe, then gets traded for someone to trade into the first round. You're picking up their two, or you're picking up, or but this is the cryptic text. What if I told you the Eagles select just one player in round one? I got to tell you, I'd be a bit disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
I really would be. After we talked about three ad nauseum forever, and then it became two, if it just becomes one,
it's less exciting for sure, but the quality of players should be a lot better.
Okay, so then I saw another on Path to the Draft on NFL Network. The team most likely to have three number one picks next year is the Philadelphia Eagles. A bunch of teams have two. And as is the team most likely to have three number one picks next year in the draft is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, then that says trade back this year.
That the 18th pick gets traded to somebody who wants a number one next year. But you got to be getting the draft capital you get to give that up. You're getting next year's number one, but you also have to be getting the draft capital to supplement this year's draft.
If you trade back from 18, you got to recoup a second or an early third.
Which you probably use to move up from 15.
Yes, because you're losing it on if that's the scenario. There's a lot of scenarios here Thursday night.
Then I'll call myself Shaq Stradamus. If they end up trading, if they don't pick at 15 or 18, I'll feel really good about that, the way things go. Obviously, a lot of teams looking to move into that mid-teens range where they believe, that's where a lot of people believe the quarterback rush may come. Like the teens area. 11 from like 11 to 18, that could be where the quarterbacks start falling off the board. So it's going to be a lot of fun with that. Sixers will try to close it out tomorrow night, and we'll be talking about a lot of it today. But we did so much Sixers yesterday, and honestly, I sort of felt angst-ridden listening to the station all day yesterday. Our show, in other words, I sort of was, okay, I'm ready to turn the page to Game 6. I don't know how much more dissecting of Game 5 we can do. I still don't understand how it ever happened.
Yeah, I'm there too.
You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. I'm not okay with the way they're playing. I'm not okay with, you know, the way this series is playing out. There's nothing to be okay about if you're, you know, you have 76ers interest. But I kind of got there late yesterday afternoon. I was outside doing yard work listening to Mike, and I got there late afternoon of, all right, it's over.
I've heard enough.
We'll have predictions on what might happen tomorrow night, but what can you do? I'm just at the what can you do stage.
Yeah, I wish it was a loss where, you know, just like some shots weren't dropping or something.
Like the way the Hawks lost last night to the Heat.
Yeah, but it was just like a little dig there.
Yeah, just a little one.
But it was kind of an effort. And attitude
an effort
loss,
issue, yeah.
Which is so much worse than just a game where your shots aren't dropping. So I wish I could say they bounce back off of it, but
So Miami doesn't play Butler last night. They don't have Kyle Lowry. They kind of look at it as like, well, we'll just get some rest, it looks like, and they still go out and then beat. And the worst part about it, Victor Oladipo goes for 36 minutes and plays well. Oh, great.
I looked at all the Miami points in the paint in that series and said, uh-oh. Boy, they score a lot of points close to the basket when they want to.
Yeah, and you can't solely guard that because then you have Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero hitting from outside. And I don't know.
Well, let's just get game six in the win column. And by the way, you should be entering the Beat the Bro mock draft contest at 975thefanatic.com where you can win
$250 for my friends over at Prop Swap. It'll get you like half a tank of gas these days, but it's still nice. Just do it. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything. There's a really good chance you're going to beat me because this first round's chaotic. So just sign up, you know, today or tomorrow morning and get it in and take a shot at $250.
And tomorrow morning, we will all put 10 names down. So everybody will have it done before the show. We will have 10 names down on a list. From 10 to 1, we will make our list. And the players selected by the Eagles in the first round, we're going to add up the points of where we had people placed. And whoever has the highest number will win the booty. Not booty.
The pride.
You have my attention.
Money.
Whose booty, gonna win. Whose booty we winning?
You're just going to win money.
Destiny. She's a Spearman Rhino.
We'll be in Vegas.
There you go. That could very well be. All right, coming up, there is one team in Philadelphia that's trying to put a smile on your face, it appears, early on. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I love the AACR. I love the American Association for Cancer Research. One of the reasons? I benefited from their work. With over 50,000 researchers worldwide, they have been helping, based here in Philadelphia, by the way, they have been helping to fight the battle against cancer. And I can tell you that as a survivor myself, the scientific discoveries that accelerate the the rate that people get cured of cancer. I can tell you this, which is great, is that when I was diagnosed, it was a 71% chance of survival in 1995. Do you realize the same young man who would go in and get tested out today has over a 91% survival rate? That's because of people like the AACR. More than 17 million Americans are like me. They've survived cancer due to your generosity. Why don't you get involved in the cause today? Go to AACR.org/fanatic. That's AACR.org/fanatic. I assure you, cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The conversations that go on around this place.
I'm telling you, it's being butt sick on a plane is one of my top like 5 fears in life.
Not like having that would be terrible.
I'm with you. Yeah. I thought of it last night.
I once took a business meeting at my Tampa office when I was in the business world, and I'm doing in the midst of chemo, and so I had to go do a Miami and Tampa run. So run was the word. So I fly to Tampa, and I'm feeling pretty good. And then I get down to Miami for the next meeting, and I have horrible vomits, like, just coming upon me. And I never got sick during chemo. Like, I was not a guy getting sick. Got on a plane. It was as if I was on the old hellhole down on the Wildwood Boardwalk. I mean, I'm in the bathroom, and I'm sick. I can't imagine being sick out, having to go to the bathroom.
No.
Having to go potty.
I don't even want to do that in a plane.
Oh, my gosh.
Let alone be sick.
It's such a small room. You're so big.
It's
a guy like
horrible.
You. Can you imagine that?
No.
And then you open the door and everybody knows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you've been in there a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you're walking down, you get the look of shame.
Yeah, even if they didn't have headphones on, then it hits them. That ungodly smell that you just funked up the entire plane. And you know it. You did it. It's 30,000 feet above.
Everyone hates you.
And you just hotbox the plane. And everybody cannot stand
you. You're speaking someone into it today.
No, please don't. Please don't.
There's preemptive measures we can take.
But we all have different seats today.
Yeah. Philadelphia 9 says, just bring some poopery with you on your bag and you're good.
It's not a bad little thing, too. We've all moved around on the flight, so we're in different...
Yeah, I had to get out of the middle seat. I got a window.
I was also in a middle seat.
Yeah,
I was in a middle seat.
I think I was
in
between.
Wait a minute, how could three of us have been in middle seats?
I was in between Coach and Bob, maybe, originally.
I was on the aisle. I changed to a window.
See, now you did the window on the way out. I switched to an aisle on the way back, so that way I could sleep on Sunday with all my winnings.
You sleep better in the aisle than...
No, I don't want to sleep today.
Oh, okay.
I want to get the show prepped on and be everything, so that way, honestly, I'm gonna get in the night. And I'm going to try to sleep.
Yeah, I'm going to do
so
like
that way Thursday does not get screwed up.
A burger and a beer.
Tomorrow's going to be a huge day.
We got to get dinner when we get there.
And a long day. Got to get something.
I got to nap after the show tomorrow.
Pat and I might get some ice cream.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, guys.
Look out.
Hey, the all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, the official presenting partner of the 76ers playoffs. Download the app or go to betparks.com. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. From the folks at Parks, they were hoping that their investment in this would not be for 2 weeks. So hopefully they can take care of business tomorrow night. The Sixers can take care of business and extend this series in. Make plans for Monday night. If you are optimistic about where the Sixers are, it is official. The Sixers will open in Miami. Should they advance, they will open Monday night. So there are no Sixers games this weekend, except that there's a game 7, which would be on Saturday.
There's going to be a Sixers game this weekend. I'm just saying.
I do not feel that way.
Wait, why?
I don't either.
By the way, I do not feel that way at all. I feel like I'm almost...
And I'm okay with it.
Why are you saying that?
I think they're going to handle it.
I'm almost strangely overconfident.
And I don't have a good feeling for it. I mean, I don't have a good reason for it.
I don't either.
I just feel it.
I think maybe that's why I'm going the other way, so that I can be happy that I'm wrong.
Because I can tell you the anxiety of watching a Game 7 is something that I don't enjoy that. Now, other people love Game 7s. I hate Game 7.
Well,
when my team's in it, hate it.
I don't mind it when my team's in it necessarily. I don't like the situation that it would be game 7 of this one, having lost 3 in a row. An even series back and forth, a game 7 in your home. Yeah, I love that. I crave that. That's what sports is all about.
Yeah, we're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
We'll have a great, great time. It'll be fun. And we look forward to seeing you out in Vegas if you are going to be there. The Phillies are giving us something to smile about after just sort of, springing a leak. Looking like the season could potentially slip away. They've gotten the home record to 6-5. They win another one against the Rockies. They go for the series win tonight. And then tomorrow it is a day game for us in Vegas. It is a day game here, too. The Phillies start at 10:05 tomorrow morning in Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
A 10:05 game.
I have to go to the sports book for
now,
that.
Now, Bob's
one.
Not liking
right.
this.
No, I love it.
Oh, you do
so,
like that.
Scratch your nap.
No,
dude.
No, no. The nap is necessary.
We need the nap.
Ridiculous.
I'll be up by the third or fourth inning.
Bob,
you'll go
you
watch
a vampire?
The Phillies game with me, right?
Pat? Wait a minute. How much sleep are you guys going to work on?
What do you need sleep? Sleep is so
sleep
overrated.
Sleep is the cousin of death.
Yeah, right.
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Yeah.
Sometimes, Bob.
The hell out of here.
And I say this with all due respect, because you know how much I love you. You're my best friend. We're going to get ice cream. But sometimes.
Wait. Jamie thinks he's.
You say stuff where I just want to repeatedly punch you in the face, and this is one of those times.
10 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be sleeping?
We the get Phillies done the show,
but he's going to be up. But he's going to be up till 10 o'clock
at night.
We're
going to get breakfast, and then we go to the sports bar.
We got a long day ahead of us.
Well, you can, whatever. You carry the Phillies right into the. What time's the party tomorrow? One. At Blondie's? Man, are you kidding me?
One to four.
This is what it's all about.
I know myself. There's not enough coffee in the world.
All right, Chris,
especially when you're spilling it.
Chris Mortensen's there in Vegas already. We'll have Adam Schefter today at 8:10, and Chris is like, everywhere you look when you get to Vegas, somebody's got an NFL jersey on. Everywhere. There could have been, in a lobby, so it could have been 10. You could have looked around the room and seen 10 different teams.
As somebody that rocked Zubas and a Randall Cunningham jersey in Chicago, yes, I can attest to it being chaos.
I love the Zubas.
I still have them.
I love them. But the thing is, I would think you're too young for the Zubas. That was when Bob and I were
Have them when I was young, but I knew the, like
when Bob and I would have been college age and thing was when the Zubas got big. And Bob did not wear them.
He said that before.
I had Eagle Zubas. I had the color of the Eagle Zubas. I had the color of the Phillies Zubas.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, Las Vegas is going to be NFL Central.
And Bob did not have Z Cavaricci's either. Bob, you were not wearing Z Cavaricci's.
I don't even know what that is.
They're the jeans that were like pleated on the thighs, right?
Bob did not wear them. I did not wear them either.
Something tells me that this look that you see Bob in now has been the same
Bob?
Look for 40 years.
No, hoodies,
hoodies were pretty much close to the same way.
When I went to, when we went out and stuff, I wore, Levi's and a shirt or something.
Wait, we're talking about like fashion trends, and you think that the fashion trend was Levi's, quote, and a shirt.
Well, hoodies were not the thing.
No,
at all.
Sweatshirts with no hoodies.
Sweatshirts with no hoodies.
That was so weird.
A lot of guys would still wear the, especially from certain sections of town, would wear the tracksuit jacket.
Oh, the East Pass Young Tux?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was big on the rugby shirts.
Rugby shirts is big.
I had some rugby shirts.
I had them every color, every single one. And did you have the long sleeve ones?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
With the collar and everything like that.
Three button.
It was definitely.
It was awesome, yeah.
Every color.
You know, if you tuck it in, you wear it out. Oh, it was great.
Phillies 8-10. Phillies are 8-10.
Wait, we're back to the Phillies.
The offense is kicking in. Well, I'm trying to bring some
optimism. No, it's just amazing that somehow we...
Yes.
I completely forgot how we got to the fashion point, but go ahead.
Well, it's that Phillies are 8-10.
Let's get back to the Phillies.
The Phillies are... the offense is rocking, and designated hitter Bryce Harper is just fine. I mean, he played catch yesterday, though, and his elbow hurts.
There must be something going on in there.
I'm kind of bugged out about it.
So what do you do?
I don't know. I stayed at Holiday Inn last night.
Do you potentially have it?
I mean, I would have to imagine the best doctors in the world here in Philadelphia are taking a look at it.
But if he can be a designated hitter for you, and the elbow's fine, and it could wait till the off season. Let's say something had to be done to it.
That's fine if he can go with that, but you just lost some optionality with your team, which sucks.
Oh no! Sorry, your elbow hurts, dude. If you can hit, you're hitting for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
you take care of that in the off season.
Right, you have to worry about that.
Yeah, it just sucks. Yeah, I feel bad for you. Like I don't want anybody to be in pain, but there's worse problems in the world than to have Bryce Harper as your DH.
Did you watch Bryce Harper play? I'm just saying that I know it's a different injury, but Joel Embiid, Bryce Harper, I don't see Bryce Harper rubbing his elbow, rotating his elbow. He doesn't even want to talk about it.
Well, we don't see him as much as we should.
No, but he doesn't want to talk about it either, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. But there's a chance that he's doing that constantly in the dugout. We just don't see it.
I think you would see it if he was doing
it. No, I mean, not necessarily.
Well, he doesn't even want to talk about it.
Not want to talk about it because he's so upset about it because he keeps rubbing his elbow. We don't know. We don't know.
You are part of the defense ministry. You are really part of the defense ministry.
I'm in defense against the dark arts.
Of the Joel Embiid trotting off to war, going onto the front lines with his thumb.
Yeah, I hope that
changes. I still don't understand, too, and people were asking yesterday, how does that affect your ability to run, get down the court?
Well,
does your thumb injury hurt you to be able to run?
Yeah, you move your arms.
Oh, yeah, when you move your arms.
Your hands?
I don't think he's running less because of the thumb injury. I don't think we've ever seen a bunch of him running this whole season or career. It's just the way he plays, and I bring it up often. It drives me nuts, and it shouldn't. It's a little thing. Opening tap, they win it. He walks down the court.
There you go.
That drives me bat bleep crazy. I would just like to see a little, I'm going to run right to the block and post an elbow in somebody's face and beg for the ball.
I want a word, and I have my word for tomorrow night's game, but I'll save that for tomorrow. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, optimism for the draft? Where's Bob at?
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
I swear, I don't think I've ever been as excited for a draft, even though when the Eagles had like the second overall pick or whatever, because you usually knew what they were going to do. I haven't been this excited for an Eagles draft in I don't know how long. And I brought it up a couple weeks ago about how I haven't seen a mock or one of Jamie's or anywhere else that I come away saying, oh, I don't like that a little bit. Now, most of the mocks and Jamie's stuff are with them taking the 15th and 18th pick. So I just say, if you do stay there, you're going to get two good players. But here's what I don't want. You ready for this?
Okay.
And this isn't diving deep, guys. It's just, this is what I don't want. I don't want a quarterback, and I don't think you're going to get one.
I don't either.
I don't want an offensive lineman. Even Tyler Linderbaum, if he's still there, and he probably will be. Nah, I don't want to come out with an offensive lineman, even if a guy falls a little bit, or they take a chance on somebody. Nah, don't want that.
Whose voice was that?
I don't know. I think I was doing Hunter Brody there. Edge rusher, I don't want George Karlaftis. I'm okay.
I do not either.
Yeah, no. Don't have a guy that's now fallen to 27-28, and all of a sudden the Eagles are saying, but wait, we just think he's better than that. No, I don't want that. I hate to say this, and it probably is a little USC wide receiver bias, but if they take Drake London of all the wide receivers that are probably going to be available, I don't know. I think I'm going to have that feeling in my stomach that I've had for a day and a half now. Of not goodness.
Wow.
I don't know. And look, it is totally uneducated on my part. I've watched highlights of him. I've USC games this year. You knew he's going to be a top pick. You obviously keep your eye on him. But I don't know. It's just a name that I go, okay. It's not going to excite me. But those are the only ones there. I just don't. If they sit at 15 and 18... I'd really be shocked if we're not all happy.
We're shocked, though. I'm going to be shocked if they stay at 15 and 18. But, I mean, I understand where you're at, though. I like it because I really do trust the plan. I trust what they're going to do. I have a strange level of just confidence that they're going to get this right.
I mostly do. I still reserve 30% at all times for them to incredibly screw up, which they are capable of.
Right.
But I think they'll be all right. I think I'll be happy with a lot of outcomes here Thursday night. So I don't expect them to screw up that bad.
Mine's not even at 30%. I'm down at 20% that they screw it up, but I'm not happy.
And I'm at 15.
Oh, yeah, 30 is a permanent number for me. Yeah.
It sticks in your head.
Yeah, just they got a 30% chance to screw it up.
Pat, how quickly do you get attached to the guy that's drafted on draft night?
Depends on who it is.
Is it by position? Is it by... does that affect you as far as...
Position, not so much, because when they took Jalen Reagor, I mean, that's the right position. They took the wrong player. And it was kind of everybody kind of knew you could get him later. So I didn't get attached to him at all. And I don't foresee me ever getting attached to him. But there are some guys, obviously, that, right away, you trade up. Fletcher Cox was one that you traded up for and you got. I'm kind of in lockstep with Bob, though, on this one.
Yeah, see that?
Every player he mentioned, I was especially offensive linemen. Offensive linemen don't do it for me when you need an offensive lineman because they're playing a position that... routinely, if they're good, you never hear about them. And it just doesn't give you the juice, even though it's a good pick. They don't need an offensive lineman this year.
No.
So if they take an offensive lineman, I'm going to be sitting there kind of that's...
Now, it's funny say that.
They will take one in the first, four rounds.
I'm fine with that.
A second day even, maybe.
Yeah, fine with that. Take the depth guys, but...
I'm usually exactly like that. But last year when they took Dickerson, Jamie and I talked about it. I was pumped when they took Dickerson.
I loved
last year.
It too.
Yeah, I thought that was a great, great pick. And
what if the trade back was for Linderbaum, and you got one of the bigger
names?
Okay,
I think I'd be okay.
You pick 15, you trade back and get Linderbaum?
Yeah, say you got him at 29-30.
Okay, I'd be fine.
Moved up.
I would be fine.
And he got maybe an additional second.
No, I absolutely would be fine with that.
Yeah, I would do that.
I trust them on offensive linemen.
Yeah.
But I also trust them to develop offensive linemen.
Yeah, it's true.
Like
too.
Later exactly, on, Pat. Great
where,
point.
Yeah, you can take this stud, but you have such a stud as a coach that he can identify a guy in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round that could end up being just as good at sometimes, if not better.
There you go. Join us from Las Vegas tomorrow and Friday. You come along for the ride. You can be listening on the app all day long. You can watch along on our YouTube channel. A gentleman said something to me last night, and he's a fan of the show. He made a comment to me, though, and I was like, well, what are you talking about here? Trying to figure it out. He said, you're a bright guy. He goes, what are you going to do? He goes, why don't you do something a little different tomorrow when you're in Vegas? He goes, for the shows, do something that screams Las Vegas. He says, does it matter? And I said, well, the part of it is being there for the draft. He goes, I don't know what you could do on the show.
Yeah, what does he want us to do? Dress up like the Blue Man Group?
I don't understand.
We could have a fake Elvis marry Bob and Pat.
We could maybe do that. Things can be done. By the way, I'm bothered
I'm a top.
If any of our YouTube
I don't think so.
Top okay, of the cake?
I'm the pitcher.
If any of our YouTube audience is watching and I keep smelling myself. My wife bought these the little
the
pellets. The pellets that you throw in. And I keep getting a whiff of like laundry clean. It smells clean. But I keep getting a whiff of it every time I move.
It could be worse, man.
No, I understand.
Things are looking up, Johnny.
But I mean, I'm not used to it. And I'm going, what the hell's that smell? And then I smell it, and it is. That stuff works. But it's like a little, to me, it's like a little overpowering.
I use that stuff
you do?
For washing my hockey stuff.
Oh, your hockey stuff. You has to.
Yeah.
Jamie, you're saying tomorrow has a chance to be one of those epic Philly sports days.
Yeah, it could be great. It could be horrible.
10 o'clock Phillies game in Vegas.
Zach Wheeler's going tomorrow, I believe.
At 10.
So we'll know the result of that. But by 10:15 at night, when the 15th pick is on the clock, the Sixers game should have just wrapped up, and the Eagles will be approaching their draft pick if they stay put. Who's got the chance to hurt us more?
Well, the Eagles could hurt us the worst. Sixers are going to get a second chance. Eagles blow this draft.
Yeah, but if the Sixers win... Or if the Sixers lose, that's going to be a pretty horrendous feeling.
You still
feeling.
Are alive. The Eagles blow this draft, yeah. It would be terrible.
Yeah, but to
and
Jamie's
I don't believe
point,
they will.
Game seven makes me nervous
we
as
hell. We can say right now, well, there's still a game seven, but if they lose bad fashion tomorrow night, wow.
I really am just, I don't know what it is. The drive-in this morning, I was like completely confident that they're not losing.
I'm completely confident also.
That he's feeling the other way. I feel completely at ease about tomorrow night's game.
I oddly do, too.
And I do, too. But this is a topic for later on, so I'm not going to get into it.
Makes you pat.
But like Bob just said, how like the Eagles would have to go out of their way to screw us, I think.
The Eagles would have to be monumentally stupid for us to come out of this draft feeling bad.
Guys, they've done this before.
I know, yeah, they've done
I
it.
Know, did it, but we're trying to avoid it. By the way, why are we acting like this? This is a complete, ridiculous thought that this could happen. It's happened three times in the past 5 years.
I think you guys are overstating it.
But that's also after the fact. Like, we're disappointed in three of the last five drafts after they were played. Like, they could draft two guys tomorrow night they were happy with, and these two guys could wind up stinking, but we won't be unhappy tomorrow or Friday.
There's no right answer to our feelings tomorrow. Like, if they took George Karlaftis, we could all hate it, but he could end up being the best defensive end in the draft.
And last year, people were like, with Dickerson, were like, they picked an injured guy again. Oh, my gosh, why did they pick him?
Yep, that was me.
I'll pick another injured guy this year.
I have the notes from last year's post-draft shows. That's for next Monday.
That's for next Monday. No, it's not.
But I can tell you right now, we were all unanimous. We love the Devontae Smith. Yeah. We all were unanimous on that one. So it's
and now the Giants are considering trading Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I saw that.
We screwed them up. That's good.
Yeah, well, wait, they still have, by the way.
Yeah, they control the draft.
And they have not picked up Daniel Jones' fifth-year option.
No.
They still have it.
They're another possibility quarterback.
They still have a couple days left. They have to make a decision on whether to pick that up or not.
If you're the Giants, though, if you're one of these teams that
next
hasn't
Monday, right?
picked up the fifth-year option of the quarterback, that you took in the first round, why would you draft another quarterback this year in the first round? You know what I mean? Like, even though you have two first-round picks, this isn't a good quarterback crop. Daniel Jones with a new coach could end up being really good.
Right.
I would never consider taking a quarterback if I were them in the first round.
We are going to discuss something. If you added two premium pieces, what does it actually mean to your bottom line for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2022? We'll get to that, plus more on the Sixers as they look ahead to the critical Game 6 tomorrow in Toronto. It's the John Kincaid Show. We're getting ready to head to the draft in Vegas. Where else would you be if you're a Philly sports radio station? Here on 97.5 The Fanatic. H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. My friends at H&H want you to get your AC system checked out because last year it limped through that summer heat. So I don't want you to take a chance when you've got people like DelcoHVAC.com, which is H&H Heating and Air Conditioning, on your side. There will be supply chain shortages coming. Right now in the industry, it's a real thing. They can install you now with savings up to $1,500 in rebates on qualifying systems if you want to get your system replaced before the summer heat hits. Plus, they're also offering 0% financing for qualified buyers, so there is absolutely no reason to wait. H&H Heating and Air Conditioning, they inspected our system before we moved into our brand new home. They are maintaining twice a year. Come in, maintain the system, make sure everything's working great. And also, too, they put in one of those air scrubbers, and my house is crystal clear. It smells wonderful, and it's great during allergy season. Schedule an estimate on a new AC system for you. Visit DelcoHVAC.com. That's DelcoHVAC.com, and see why H&H has over 1,000 five-star ratings online. Make it 1,001, because the Kincaids give them 5 stars.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The 7 a.m. hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by the all-new Bet Parks app. Sportsbook and casino in one sleek, easy-to-use app in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Dr. Mike checks in, listens to the show every morning.
My Dr. Says, Mike?
And, I don't know.
University of Pennsylvania guy?
No, he's not. Okay. He's not University of Pennsylvania.
I got a Dr. Mike. He's
but
he listens to Peter and Stan.
He does. I think he does.
He's the doctor of Peter and Stan.
But Dr. Mike says that Jamie, John, do not listen to Bob.
I'm not.
Especially if you are going to be imbibing.
Yeah.
And you're going to be enjoying. You need sleep.
We're not imbibing all that much. It's just a great sports day.
His suggestion was. From my calculations, you'll be off the air at 7.
Yes.
His suggestion is you would eat, take a 4-hour nap.
That's exactly what I'm planning on.
So, Pat, you like to curl up for a nap. You're a nap guy.
Oh, yeah. His but, naps are like full night's
sleep. But he was checking. He goes, so is your party at noon Vegas time or 1? It's at 1. He says 4-hour nap. Get something to eat, 4-hour nap.
Yeah.
He said, because you will need that.
Ready to attack the day after
or will
that.
Attack the rest of your...
Oh, I'll be miserable. I mean, the draft's late at night.
Well, it really isn't.
Well, for us, it's 7, right?
By the time
the Eagles pick, it'll be 7:15.
The draft begins at, I think, at 4:30 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah. It's a long day.
It's going to be a long day. So, Dr. Mike says he's...
Listen to the doctor, Bob. I'm all right. I just... You know what wakes me up is a shower. That's all. I'll grab a shower between the Phillies game and...
Splash a little cold water on my face.
I'm not trying to be... That's just how I'm wired, man.
Bob voice is getting as good as... It's really getting good. It's almost as good as Addy voice. It's almost as condescending to the way you do it. How much do you believe, right now, I want every one of you, out in the audience you listen to this to, and if you want to respond on social media or whatever, how much do you believe in terms of wins? Could two... high draft picks for the Eagles make an impact this year? If they get two guys that we love with their first two draft picks, is it a one-win jump potentially? Is it a two-win jump? Do you think it's not even, you can't even calculate if two guys are going to be able to make an impact? Could you dream of a 3-win bump if the position group that you are supplementing all of a sudden takes a bigger jump? What is the most logical jump? And would certain players at certain positions, if they're drafted high, make you think that's the position where I believe you could have a bigger impact on wins and losses? Now, to me, I absolutely believe if you told me that the Eagles were getting an impact wide receiver, I would absolutely believe that's the one where I would go, okay, this team could then jump one win or two wins. The defensive side of the ball was so ineffective last year at being impactful. It wasn't an impactful defense. They ended up 12th in the NFL in points allowed. That's pretty damn good, by the way. But they weren't impactful. They didn't scare opposing quarterbacks. They didn't intimidate. I want a defense that gets more intimidating, and I think they will.
Oh, yeah.
But what's the position group for you? For me, you told me that they got a real, legit, another wide receiver in that mix. Quez gets to go down the ladder. I think it makes everybody better on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's funny, when you posed this question, my first thought was, okay, you're looking to improve on 9 wins. That team that was built here last year had no right winning 9 games last year. None.
I would agree with you.
And thank God for the 6-7 horrible opponents they played that allowed them to get to those 9 wins. So improving upon that, even though their schedule seems to be pretty good this year going in, you know how
it's
things always change.
It's easier going in than last year, by the way.
Yeah, things always change, too.
Sure.
I still would love to get I go to the defensive side of the ball. I would love to have a playmaking middle linebacker.
You're talking about a game record.
Like a Devin Lloyd. Yeah, I would just, whether that's going to equate to more wins or something. Now, they've done some things on the defensive side of the ball. So do you go heavy there and say defense is going to win us games and the offense will carry us through? You're probably more right with the wide receiver.
Jamie, where do you think is the...
I took the top 3. I ranked them. I'd go defensive end 1, cornerback 2, wide receiver 3.
So you believe wide receiver would be 3 as far as impacting wins and losses?
Yeah, because there's only one ball to go around on the offense. Defensive end and cornerback are going to be in on every play. We haven't had a true, like, dominant defensive end in a long time. In terms of sack-wise, you know, I think Brandon Graham does a lot of the stuff you love that doesn't show up on a stat sheet. But, like, having that 11-12 sack guy, like, say Kayvon Thibodeau came out this year and just, you know, was a rookie phenom that got 12.5 sacks. I think that changes the defense and a win share more than anything else. Cornerback, I would put at a close second behind that. You got to have one or the other. You can't have neither. So I'd go defensive end, cornerback, wide receiver.
Patty?
I will go defensive end for every reason.
Wow, every
Jamie,
one of you.
Jamie stated. I will go safety, because right now, who the hell do they have at safety? And that's troubling. They don't have another outside corner and safety, but I think that a cornerback is easier to find than a safety. And after that, I'll put cornerback, and then after that, wide receiver.
I'm very surprised, because it really is. You guys all sort of said defense, absolutely defense first, affects wins and losses for next year more. And
I think so, yeah.
Okay. That it doesn't.
If you can change the other team's quarterback performance, and I think DN and cornerback both do that, I think that has a higher likelihood of affecting win shares than a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, if they could have controlled some of the good quarterbacks that they played last year a little bit better. Yeah,
like Justin Herbert and those guys.
Yeah,
that game just slipped away.
Yeah, they weren't blown out. Like, maybe even Kansas City. Kansas City wasn't playing well. Their defense was playing horribly when they played the Eagles. Maybe if you had something that disrupted Mahomes a little bit more, maybe you could have stole one there. Maybe, you know, against, like Jamie said, a Herbert, you could have just pulled one out, had the defense done it, and that could be this year also.
You were tied with the LA Chargers. I was going to say San Diego.
Yeah.
You were tied with the LA Chargers at the 2-minute warning. You were within 5 points of the Kansas City Chiefs with 9 minutes to go in the game, and maybe defense would have swung.
But
one of
to
those
your
games.
Point. There was a J-Jaw drop, and there was 2 Jalen Reagor drops.
So many.
That could have swung 2 or 3 games. So maybe you're right. I mean, we could be wrong. I just, making the opposition, the main theme of last year was a good quarterback destroyed us. And if I can make that good quarterback's life more difficult with more pressure or somebody on the back end, if you have Darius Slay and Sauce ends up becoming the guy, if you have two shut down corners, not many teams can say that. So that just makes the opposition's life difficult.
If you get a good wide receiver, to your point, John, it probably makes your quarterback better.
It does.
You know, like getting a good edge rusher, it'll help your whole defense, but that's mostly you have a good edge rusher for that. Your point of the offensive side, which was not great last year.
Right.
Maybe it does make Jalen Hurts better. It's a good question. I don't have a definitive answer.
It also tells me one theory, Pat, that if they draft a wide receiver high, it completely dispels the theory of the Eagles don't believe at all in Jalen Hurts, that they're moving on. They're just, because to me, that would tell me we're all in on giving him every opportunity to show him what he's got.
Yeah.
They would tell me they're more optimistic about him than pessimistic.
It doesn't tell me they're more optimistic. It tells me they're taking away any excuse that he could possibly have.
Okay.
They're also telling you that if they have to go out and get a quarterback via free agency, that this is an appealing place. I mean, the weapons already have here in place as is, if they don't draft one offensive player in this draft, it's a pretty good landing spot with the offensive line, running game, and wide receiver you already have. But I think that they want, if he's not the guy and they have to go out and get a quarterback next year in the draft, they want an optimal place.
Do they draft Miles Sanders' replacement, or do they draft a supplemental running back this weekend?
I don't know what they think about Gainwell. He kind of fell out of favor towards the back half of the year.
It felt that way.
I think he's a key. I don't think they do. I think they're going to have trust in Kenny Gainwell.
But then he had a quote, I think last week or the week before, where he talked about wanting to dominate this year and how he's optimistic about his role in the offense. I don't know how they feel about him, honestly. So I would think they draft a guy, but I'd also draft a guy every year or two anyway.
I love taking a early third day running back every year.
Sure.
I would be fine with
it. I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah. Fourth round, fifth round. Yeah. There's so much talent there.
Kenny Gainwell, and you guys know, you saw him. Well, I mean, I remember seeing him playing college. You guys watch Temple games a little bit closer than I do. He could be okay.
I hope he is.
You know, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think last year was more of he's a rookie and he showed some jitters and you have a quarterback that you're not sure of, so we can't really rely on him. I think he's going to be fine.
Philly Sports Trips is going to be partying with us out in Las Vegas, and you will go to phillysportstrips.com if you want to join either of the parties, Thursday or Friday.
I tweeted out the link.
Oh, that's excellent.
From our station account, from our show account.
Good.
So if you're looking to go to one of those parties, the link's on our Twitter account.
Do you know you can also go to San Diego with them? The weekend of June 23rd to watch the Phillies in a 4-game series. You can join them out there. Go to phillysportstrips.com. And the way the Phillies are hitting right now, it would be a lot more appealing to go on a road trip with the Phillies right now. I think Vince and the crew at Philly Sports Trips, they're pretty smart. Now it would be a lot more appealing. When you're watching a team that swings the bats like the Phillies can, when they're swinging them well, it's highly entertaining.
Oh, yeah. They're starting to show signs of the team that we thought they were going to be. And it's, you know, if you had the patience to get through the first 20 games and just kind of look it out and then wait it out, rather, I can't help how I feel. And I feel like this team might be fun. Might be what we anticipated.
Well, offense is fun.
Hopefully.
In baseball, right?
Chicks dig the long ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dingers.
Best baseball ad campaign ever.
Yeah, it was up there.
My fantasy team's name, Chicks Dig Warning Track Power.
That's all I could reach.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not
my bad. Old boss is in a Major League Baseball ad. I saw him last night. My old boss in the industry is he's now an actor in California. And he is in a Major League Baseball ad where it says, you can go to a game, and it says, you can throw your food. And he goes, catch! And he throws the peanuts to a girl, and she catches the peanuts with one hand in the stands. So you'll see the ad running during baseball games. And he throws the ads. That's the famous Mike Thompson. Hey, Bob! So you can go on out, enjoy the baseball, enjoy the Phillies in San Diego, and enjoy the option right now to the Phillies will be done with the Rockies after tomorrow. The season series is over. It's all done. They'll all be done.
They suck in Colorado, don't they? Jeez.
They're just terrible in Colorado.
It's been 2012 since they won a series out there.
It just is unbelievable.
But then they work them here in Philly. It's baseball's so weird.
Jamie's going to bring a bit of negativity to the thought process in the linchpin when he makes a comparison between these guys, potentially.
This is the linchpin.
Not negativity, Jamie.
No, I don't think it's negativity.
Anxiousness, fear?
I think it makes GM's jobs tough.
Okay.
And that's not my problem. That's Daryl Morey and Elton Brand's job. And I could be completely wrong. I think somebody posed this possibly on YouTube or Twitter yesterday, and I kind of thought about it for a long time. Allen Iverson was always difficult to build a team around because he was so unique and ball dominant and just unlike anything we had seen, not only here, but he was kind of unique for the NBA in terms of what he brought. Maybe one of the best pound-for-pound scorer, ever, because he was, 160 pounds soaking wet. Joel Embiid is also incredibly unique, unlike anything the game's seen before. He's unique can be. I mean, a 7'1" Euro-stepping, 3-point shooting, rim defender. He's unique. He's dominant. Both are great. Are they so great and so unique that it's tough to build a roster around? Now, I don't know if the Iverson thing is the failures of GM past, where, they just came up short in building a team around him. There's been so much turnover with Embiid, I'm starting to wonder how difficult it is to build around him. And this isn't an overall negative thing. It's a the GM's better figure this out thing. And Iverson, obviously, it's too late. His career's over. But Joel Embiid's right in the prime, and I wonder if he's so unique and so talented that you almost don't know what to do and what the perfect fit is.
The idea of a perfect fit absolutely plays in, because I don't know that there is a perfect fit with Joel Embiid.
I mean, I guess it would just be a bunch of dead shooters, like a bunch of
assassins from the outside that can just give him space.
Yeah, with a great point guard. But I don't know.
But because of Maxey,
I could be thinking too much about this.
Because of Maxey,
no, you're not.
You need to have a bigger guard to join him in the backcourt. Because Maxey's, 6'2"?
Yeah.
6'2"?
Yeah.
You need a bigger guard. Like, they need to get a bigger guard there. I mean, there's a lot of...
Am I on acid with this comparison, Bob?
No, that's... and it was like my Cooney's column yesterday. I was saying, this is really, really tricky. You haven't seen this type of player ever. So, you have GMs and you have coaches and stuff like that have seen probably everything going through a league. Doc Rivers has been in the league forever. There's not much he hasn't seen. He's never seen anything the likes of Joel Embiid.
No.
He said so. Everybody says you haven't seen that. So how do you build with it? I don't know. I don't know what to... You really can't compare. I think you make a great comparison here with Iverson. What did it take to finally get them over the top with Allen Iverson?
Defense around him, right? Bunch of role players.
A basketball genius in Larry Brown to come in here and figure it all out.
And even then, he came up short. He got the most you could possibly get
out of an Allen Iverson-led team.
Sure.
And it took a basketball genius. I'm not cutting Doc Rivers short, Daryl Morey, Elton Brand, nothing like that. But it's like I said yesterday, somebody has to be able to find that exact mix that goes with Joel Embiid. And I read all the names that they've tried yesterday. I don't know. And it's not, you're right. You're not calling Joel Embiid a loser.
No.
And you're not saying you can't win with him.
No.
It's just really difficult to find out how you do it.
It's just because, when you look around the NBA and the greats, they're usually kind of 2 through 4s. Usually they're 2s and 3s. It's rare to have a 1 and a 5 kind of be like the face of your franchise all time. I mean, those are 2 of their 5 best all-time players, and they play positions that primarily the league isn't dictated by.
Right, exactly.
So it makes, both greats they've gotten in the last 20 years... It's a difficult situation. It's weird.
I like the thought process. Because it is, and you better figure it out sort of fast.
Yeah.
Because you've gone through a really good stretch of him being healthy.
Embiid's 27 now.
Correct.
He's in the prime.
He's in his prime.
Right.
He'll have a couple more years
prime. Don't waste it.
It's a difficult task. And I think Jamie and I are on the same page on this. We're not calling anybody out on it. I understand that it's really hard to do because you've never seen this type of player. Look, I often thought of this and I wondered, is there a reason Will Chamberlain didn't win more titles?
Well, you know, there is.
Yeah, and people that saw him play, the Stan Hockmans that I had numerous conversations with about Wilt Chamberlain, they considered him somewhat of a selfish player. He wanted to score 100 points in a game. He said he was going to lead the league in assists one year and just went out to prove that he could do it. It wasn't for the better of the team. It was for Wilt Chamberlain to show how great he was. So there was that balancing act that you had with him as a player. It's really interesting how this Embiid thing goes.
It's, you know what, Bob, you say interesting. I say again, a bit frustrating.
Yeah. Anonymous Primo on YouTube says, you know, I'm not buying it. Giannis is the defending champ and as unique as anybody else. It's a fair point. Maybe more right. Milwaukee just did a better job building their team.
Well, yeah. Budenholzer's a really good coach.
Well, Drew Holiday trade was such an underrated great move for them.
And by the way, one that he truly, I mean, petitioned for.
Yeah. So Drew Holiday was very underrated in terms of the NBA.
Yeah.
Because he's just kind of, I don't want to say forgettable, but you kind of forget about him. And he's one of the best two-way guards in the NBA.
And he makes it look easy.
Yeah.
He's just an easy-flowing guy that plays great defense. It has a really good handle that can finish well with both hands around the basket. The Giannis thing, it is a great point by Preem, you said?
Preem, yeah.
Sometimes you luck into it. You know, sometimes you do find guys and you say, wow, what a unique talent this is. And look how good these two guys. And I think, you know, that's kind of what happened with Milwaukee. It just hasn't happened here with the Sixers.
By the way, you're watching CJ McCollum in the playoffs.
I liked him more than most around the trade deadline.
He's got a green light.
CJ McCollum right now, would he be helping the Sixers more than James Harden? Yes.
Probably.
No hesitation. Yes. He's 30. He's healthy. Yes.
Probably, especially with the Embiid injury. And if he's going to lose some points.
Could have had him. He's had a fantastic series. At a fantastic end of the year when he got to New York.
Yeah, as soon as he got there.
Unifying young players.
Yeah.
They're talking about him being the veteran, the leader in the locker room.
Yeah.
He seems reborn a bit.
Those Lehigh guys, you can always count on them.
Well, he was smart. We already knew he was smart.
Is that what they say about Lehigh? Yeah.
He's friends with our own Adam Schefter, too.
Kim, the Catholic kid. But I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
He is fun to watch. He's become... You wonder, John, to your point, once you get out of... No, not saying there's anything between he and Dame Lillard, but once you get out of that shadow, how you can really, really shine. And he's grabbed it and gone with it. And they're a fun story.
There's no question right now the way that he has played down the stretch, the way he's played in the playoffs. CJ McCollum would be helping Joel Embiid much, much more right now than James Harden is.
But who's the point guard of the Sixers?
I don't know. I guess you guys have Maxey run point.
Yeah, and that could take away.
Yeah,
from
I got
good
you.
McCollum.
I got you.
That's
the
stuff you have to
understand.
It's a good debate.
But I mean, McCollum has been a consistently.
Yeah, he's been
playing
great.
At a consistent high level.
The NBA
and
playoffs.
I didn't know he was 30. Because last night when I saw that, I went, wait a minute.
I thought he's a little younger, actually. I thought he was like 28, 29.
See, I actually thought he was like 31, 32.
I guess he was a 4-year player at Lehigh, so that makes sense.
And but he's 30 years old.
The NBA playoffs are awesome when you're not dealing with your own team.
Yes, it's a great product if you're not watching with angst.
If you're just trying to watch basketball, it's great.
Oh, and this goes directly back real quick to what Jamie's point was. If you bring in a CJ McCollum, immediately we're like, yeah, well, how does he
fit? How does it impact?
Yeah, no, it's so weird.
It's
a puzzle.
Somebody has to put the pieces together quickly. You know who it is. If you don't, stay tuned. It's the John Kincaid Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
At North Penn Mazda, it's easy to save big on some of the most impressive Mazda models on the market. Their certified pre-owned vehicle program gives you access to heavily inspected, trusted Mazda cars and SUVs that will serve you well for years to come. A lot of people I talk to are having trouble, first of all, just finding a car. But what about the right car? A certified pre-owned Mazda model from North Penn Mazda might just be the perfect option. And North Penn customers are fully supported when they invest in a certified pre-owned Mazda with benefits including a 12-month, 12,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So buy a pre-owned certified Mazda with confidence from my friends at North Penn Mazda. Check out all the vehicles they've got to offer at northpennmazda.com. Minutes from the turnpike on Route 309 in Colmar. North Penn Mazda is the right experience and the right choice for your next car or certified pre-owned Mazda.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
How is everyone doing? John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. How you doing, Bobby? Good? Good, good, good.
Doing good today. Doing a little stomach problem, but we're okay. Everything's good.
All of you guys with a little bit of a stomach issue. And then
we're good.
I feel guilty that
I've had a couple airport beers can't fix. You know what I mean?
Nothing that can't.
Does that really help it, James?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's the
Pat,
right
I don't
remedy.
I think Dr. Mike will send another email to me saying I don't think that is Imodium plus a beer chaser.
Yeah, I've been hydrating for like 3 days. I'm ready.
Well, there's the key. Yeah.
I can tell you that I already hit up our guy Dante at the Chickies and Pete's in the airport, and we are good to go.
Okay, nice. So we're all set. Gate A. We're going out of A today.
Yes.
I haven't been at A since that used to be the old International.
Oh, wow. That was the old International.
Yeah. I haven't flown out of A because I always fly Delta. The last 25 years I've been flying Delta back and forth to Philly
Hopefully we get a newer American plane because they're pretty nice.
Yeah, and they have the iPad ledge.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Ozark episodes Friday if I'm not sleeping.
Okay, now, Pat, explain this to me. Pat, I have never downloaded the... episodes from... I've never used the Netflix app. I've always just watched Netflix at home. So I can download the episodes before going on the plane?
Yeah. Yeah. When we get to the hotel...
Download them?
Yeah. Download the episodes that morning. And then when
I can watch them on the way home.
Yep.
I'm just...
I downloaded a bunch of stuff yesterday just in case, you know, the movies they have on the plane, you know, aren't to my liking. I have a bunch of stuff ready to go.
What are you partaking in? Anything you're watching right now that would be of... worth trying? Because I might try to do this before flying today.
I downloaded Inventing Anna.
You haven't watched it yet?
I haven't seen that.
My buddy Tom is the director of that also.
I will let you know my thoughts.
The accent will drive you nuts.
No, it's the actual accent.
I know. Well, it drives me nuts, whatever it is.
Tom Verica is hot. He's got it going on right now. Bridgerton.
Bridgerton, yeah. Steamy.
Yeah. Christina said it wasn't, though.
Not in season two. Not so much. It was more about bee stings, but whatever. But yeah, I would always suggest people download some stuff before you leave, just in case.
And I have to get, I've never used, this has got, I've got those mobile, I got to go the mobile earbud route, too, with this thing. I don't tend to watch stuff on my iPad.
Oh, yeah.
I tend to use it for work, so I've got to be able to get that all figured out.
I believe in you, John.
I can figure it out. I think I'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think I will.
We'll be able to help you out there.
Yeah, we can do
that. We're a team.
There we go. We'll work it on out. Somebody needs to get back to the basics, by the way. And it's not Adam Schefter, who will join us at 8:10, the day before the draft. I think Doc Rivers needs to get back to the basics. I think he needs to understand what worked in the first two games and why is it not working now. If you went back to game one and game two, now, game one, Maxey goes off. Maybe the best singular performance by any player in the series. And in game two, you were dominant. Both games, I think Toronto really didn't even compete after halfway through the third quarter. But what happened, Bob, between games one and two? And if I hear it's Joel Embiid's thumb again, I'm going to freaking scream. Because that means to me, you don't have a plan B.
Yeah.
You don't have a counter move to... Nick Nurse, because Doc Rivers was out coaching Nick Nurse through two games. Nick Nurse, the series swung back in Nick Nurse's favor.
Yeah, you hate to say that a team got better when they lost a player and one of their best. But when Fred VanVleet went out and they had to start 4'6", 8" guys and Gary Trent Jr., who's 6'5", 6'6"-ish, it just imposed real bad matchup problems for the Sixers. Now all of a sudden you have slow of foot guys trying to cover athletic 6'8" guys.
So this is interesting because Josh tweeted me last night and I actually downloaded the episode for the flight. Kevin Durant was on JJ Redick's podcast, I think two or three episodes ago, and talked about this exact thing.
Apparently, Kevin Durant thinks what the Toronto Raptors are doing right now is the future of the NBA. In that you just
five forwards?
Yeah.
And okay, wait a minute. Explain.
I haven't listened to it in depth yet, so okay. I can't go in detail, but he thinks it's basically what we saw the other night, that five forwards that can shoot and get to the basket create such a nightmare matchup for the other team that you really don't know what to do. And he thinks the league's evolving that way. Now, I'll listen to the podcast on the flight today, and I'm sure Durant's much more detailed about that thought, but it's interesting.
It's very interesting because you think of 6'8". You usually think of, okay, that's probably a power forward. Maybe these days a small forward, but it's not a guy that's going to like really beat you with quickness or anything like that. But look who they're going against. 6'8 athletic guys. Who's going to cover them? Who's your center that's going to cover any of them? Who's your smaller guards if you have a Tyrese Maxey out there or a Danny Green? Are they covering 6'8 athletic guys? That's a real advantage. And it's interesting that Durant said that because, as we all know, the NBA is always looking for different ways to form the game.
I downloaded it this morning. I'll listen to it on the flight.
Yeah, it's almost the way of the three-point shot. Where is that going if you're going to go 6'8 athletic guys?
Because Scottie Barnes is like kind of their backup point. Two guards?
No, he's like their point forward.
Yeah. But you just said the thing that my number one question would be. What happens to the three-point shot as such a...
Well, they can shoot, too. I mean, Gary Trent's 6'6", but he can bomb.
He's their best shooter, out of like, those guys.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not talking about Gary Trent. I'm talking about if teams decided to follow this mold.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Everybody shoots. Like I said to you the other day,
it's much harder to draw up a defensive game plan.
Sure, because you know if you jump out on a 6'8 shoot, you think he's a shooter,
but he can also dribble drive.
But he's athletic enough to dribble drive and score around the rim.
That's trouble.
Those are the toughest matters. You can talk about the bigger guy and guys that'll battle you down low, and that's old school basketball, and we all know that. That's a tough matchup. If anybody's going to go one on one with Joel Embiid inside of 15 feet of the basket, they're probably not going to win. But that 6'8 athletic guy that can dribble, that can shoot, that can do pretty much everything, those are always the scary guys to me. And
they used to be called tweeners.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's just like, well, is he a power forward? Is he a two? No, now they're just threes that can dribble, play near the rim, and shoot.
Okay, conspiracy theory. Is Durant sending a message? Is Durant saying... That's how he wants to see his team.
Hey, Sean Marks, build this. Well, Kyrie's different, and he chose Kyrie, right? Like, Kyrie's a true guard.
I think if you went with that approach, I actually believe it makes Kevin Durant more valuable. Or even more difficult to defend.
If the whole team was a bunch of those guys.
I think Kevin Durant, because he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest scorers of... you know, the last 20 years, I think he could fit in almost any system. Like, he went out where there was two of the best shooters, maybe the best shooters of all time, and he went out there and didn't skip a beat and was a 29-point-a-game scorer.
He had a terrible playoff, though.
Yeah, he did.
Jason Tatum did a really good job on him.
I'm not giving the proper credit to just saying Jason Tatum was awesome.
He was busy, he was active, he was getting in passing lanes, he was getting in his face. Jason Tatum... is emerging as like a top five guy in the league playoffs. He's unbelievable.
I want to know.
Damn it.
I want to know how smart Jamie is, Pat. And I'm going to find out because his final draft profile comes your way now.
It's the Draft Report with Jamie Lynch. Now, here's Jamie.
You've set trends, too, now. This is broken out all over sports radio.
Oh,
the
good.
Idea of, like, one of the people, like, you know...
Who knew my nerd passion could catch on?
It's contagious.
Yes. And this draft profile is brought to you by North Penn Mazda for the seventh year in a row. North Penn is a Mazda President's Award winner. This isn't some award they just throw around. It's an honor earned only by the top dealerships in the country. Today's profile, the last one we do before the final mock tomorrow, is Jordan Davis. He's a name you've heard a lot. He's going to be tied to the Eagles a lot.
I've got news on this after you're done, and I saved it.
Great. Him and Devontae Wyatt are the two D tackles on the national champion Bulldog squad. Jordan Davis went viral at the NFL Combine for being an absolute freakazoid of a human being. 6'6", 341 pounds. And ran a 4.78, I believe. Holy jeez.
Yes.
Would you look at the butt on that guy? That's a Dumb and Dumber line. Don't judge me, Bob. All right, he's a senior defensive tackle, obviously, for the champion Bulldogs. He lined up both 1 and 3 techniques for the Bulldogs. If you don't know what that is, basically the 1 technique is over the inside part of the shoulders of the center. 3 is outside wide. So he can do both of those. He's versatile within the defensive tackle position. For a man his size, the scouts and coaches are amazed at his lateral athleticism. Obviously, when he's running a 4.78, you know he's a freak athlete, but he can move side to side equally as well for a man that size. He can bump around the line with ease. In terms of pass rushing, he improved a lot this past year, and the coaches credit it to his conditioning. So he obviously knew he had to get better to stay on the field more, improved his conditioning heading into his senior year, and it showed. He didn't have to get taken off the field nearly as much.
Because that was a problem before.
It was.
And, it absolutely was.
And it might be the problem at the NFL level. You know, like, he's still going to have to condition for the NFL. He could just be a two-down player probably that first or second year. Hopefully his conditioning improves. And he can be a straight-up three-down passer, pass rusher at the NFL level. You can't single block this guy. He requires a double team almost at all times because he's powerful. He's got the hands that separate that the scouts drool over. He's got that lateral mobility, and he's got the strength. So you can't single block this guy. He's going to disrupt pockets. He's going to move pockets. He's going to get in the quarterback's face. Now, much like Fletcher Cox or somebody like that, it might not always result in sacks, but moving the interior line is almost as valuable as sacks because then it gets them moving. It gets your outside guys a chance to feast a little bit. You know, there's some concerns that maybe he's the third best player on the line. We'll see. I think he's better than Devontae Wyatt. He's no Trayvon Walker who cleans everything up on the edge. But he's an exciting prospect, somebody I think they'll consider if he's on the board at 15, which he could very well be. Now, Dane Brugler has Devontae Wyatt one spot ahead of him. He has Devontae as the top tackle. Jordan Davis as the second-rated tackle on the board. Either one, you're in a good situation with. I kind of believe both will be solid, if not good to great.
That sounds good. Your friends at North Penn did a great job with this.
Yeah, thank you, North Penn Mazda, for hopping on board and seeing this vision out.
All right.
But Jordan Davis, he's very appealing.
Okay, here's what I was told yesterday, and I saved it because I knew you were going to talk about him. Someone really, really close to the Bulldogs program told me that he believes the Eagles' level of interest was higher in Wyatt than Davis.
That's true from what I've... The people I follow, Devontae Wyatt is, to me, a guy they've been tied to since the start.
And remember when we had Carlos on with us, Los Medina was on, Front Office Los joined us. He sort of, in his draft analysis, and he covers the Dogs, talks about it 24/7, he thinks that he believes Wyatt has less potential red flags. Jordan Davis, yeah. And I don't mean to say red flags with Jordan Davis, but Jordan Davis has the chance to get hey.
Sure.
Like he he's played as high as, I think he's played as high as two, like putting on like 70, and he did like 40 last year.
When you hear conditioning come up 2 and 3 times from all the scouts.
And it did at Georgia.
It's a little bit of a red flag for me, I'm not going to lie.
Because when you get money, and when you get, when your life gets easier, you don't tend to get slimmer and more trim and more fit.
Yeah, the great ones do. The good ones stay the same.
Correct.
Because of that. He's a guy that doesn't stay on the field all the time, which lends me to believe, okay, it's a passing game in the NFL, a run-stopping defensive tackle. Ugh, is he going to be just a rotational
it's
guy?
Ugh,
you know?
Ugh,
yeah,
it's a dog.
I go back and forth with him.
I wouldn't concerns hate it, me, but I have concerns.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Exactly how I'd put it.
This the belief of this person was that, and they are in the Butzmer building, which is the football facility.
Excuse me?
It's what an unfortunate it's Butzmer building. So it's Butts-Mehre.
Oh, my God.
But it sounds like it's a Butzmer. But it's Butzmer.
That's a bad.
I know it's a bad. It's a bad combination.
Joe Dirtay.
But that yes. So it's a bit, that The Eagles' interest was, the Eagles' research and everything was that was more focusing on Wyatt.
That makes sense.
Than Davis.
From everything.
But you can get Wyatt maybe in what?
Later.
22, 25?
Maybe. I have no idea.
There's your move back.
I mean, somebody could love Devontae Wyatt at 11, 12, 13. And we have no idea. But if the Eagles love him at 15, then somebody else might love him ahead of that.
This person absolutely believes that the Philadelphia Eagles' interest research, the amount of research, the amount of questions that were asked, seemed to be much heavier leaning on the due diligence of Devontae Wyatt than Jordan Davis. So just so, you know, it's just a, you know, and again, you don't know smoke screens.
No.
You don't know what could be, you know, they don't want people to know what they're doing.
There's going to be somebody that goes, I'll say in the top eight, that we're going to say, whoa.
That was the reach, or that was the
the
shocker.
I'm not breaking news here, saying anything outlandish, but it'll happen probably. Top eight.
It always does.
Whoa.
Didn't see that guy
now,
coming.
Yeah.
Now, Bob Cooney says he's in a good place with the Sixers, but I got to tell you this. The entire crew of the John Kincaid Show may not be in a good place with Bob Cooney once he gets done talking.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
Well, that's a you thing.
Well,
that's
that
not
is.
Not a me thing.
It is. You don't need sleep. You're in a good place with the Sixers. How can you be in a good place? It's like anxious city right now.
Yeah, because I just have a really strong feeling of what's going to happen on Thursday.
Okay, Thursday. This is good. So you're saying a big win for the Sixers. That's awesome, Bob.
No, I'm saying the exact opposite. I don't think they can go up to Toronto and win with the way they're currently playing and the way Toronto is playing also. I just don't see it in the cards. But I'm okay with it. Okay. Realize it. I do. The team needs to get up there and really know what they're doing. And look, some of this might come from me hoping that they win so much that I'm getting myself calm by saying, all right, relax. They're going to lose this game. If they win, you know, I'll feel that much better.
Or maybe Saturday you just really want to go to a basketball game. Maybe you want to see a game. No, a game seven. Maybe you want to really
okay,
see a game seven.
Uh-huh. So
I love the drama. Sevens. Bob loves game sevens.
I do love
drama.
Game sevens, but I find it really hard. Everything that I try to play out in my mind, I find it really hard for them going up there and winning on Thursday. I really do. That crowd, the confidence that Toronto has, the lack of confidence that the Sixers have right now. I mean, you know, you had Tobias Harris just saying, yeah, I don't know what happened.
But why do you think they can't change it?
I just think the disparity is too much now. Now, do I think they could go up to Toronto and lose a closer game or find something in a loss and then come back here and win? Absolutely. I just think right now the Sixers don't have anything that they can grab a hold on. Like, they don't. Tyrese Maxey isn't what he was in game one. Well,
Van Vliet is back. He might be able to attack him again.
Yeah, are you going to be stupid if you're Nick Nurse and go away from what got you three straight wins?
You're going to bench Van Vliet if he's healthy?
I'm not saying bench him, but, like, you know, sorry, dude. You at 80% isn't going to help us as much as the starting lineups that we've had of a bunch of 6'8" guys.
If I'm Fred, I go, well, Scotty Barnes is like 60%. Nick, get me in there.
Then a good problem for Nick Nurse to have,
I guess.
You know, so I just feel the teams have fallen further apart.
So what could sway you back in the first quarter? Is Joel Embiid looking like Joel Embiid?
You know, if they come out in the first quarter and look and play a downhill game and look like they can get to the basket and score and look like that, you know, some outside shooters are going and they do something. Anything defensively to slow down Toronto, then I'd say, okay, we're in for a close game. They could win this game. But I just don't feel it right now, them going up to Toronto and winning. But that doesn't preclude me from saying they couldn't come back here and win a game seven. Unless they go there and get their asses kicked tomorrow night, then I'm gonna...
The thing I don't like is you saying they could come back and win a game seven.
Yeah.
I'll be having kittens if there's a game
seven. I mean, nobody's done it in history. I still think they're going to pull this out. And then if they don't, at least they went with my motto of, if you're going to suck, you might as well historically suck. I mean, we could set a new record.
Go big or go home?
Yeah, we could be talked about for a century.
Okay.
As the only team that
we'll
ever
will always know the trivia question answer, won't
I
we?
Swear to you, I'll...
Doc would have to be fired if that was the case.
No, there's no question.
Yeah.
No, he's gone.
Yeah, he'd have to be.
I do not believe it's happening. I have a strange...
I don't either.
I have a strange piece about me for Thursday. for that game.
So do I. But and I'm really not being facetious here. I do. Like, I don't think they're going to win, but I still think it's okay because I do think they would win a game seven. That's what I've got to.
Okay. Oof.
I will be so nervous on Thursday or Saturday game seven. Ghosts in that building. Ooh.
I looked it up. They had 1 4+ game losing streak throughout the season, and it was at the beginning of the season.
Okay.
There was COVID. I think Joel Embiid was going through COVID.
Yeah, there was COVID.
Yeah, it's tough for me to imagine they lose 4 straight games.
But yeah, I'd find it hard to believe.
If there's one team that can do it, it's a Philadelphia sports team.
Never thought they'd lose to the Hawks.
Man, and it's weird because I think I found the Hawks thing for me. Is that Hawks loss has got me sort of like when the Eagles lost the last game in the Vet to Tampa Bay. Ugh. I never again went into an Eagles game saying they can't lose.
Yeah.
After that, I've never had that overwhelming confidence.
Except Super Bowl 52.
That loss. Yeah,
I felt like they're going to do this.
Yep. Mm. No, but I'm with you. Like, it's just...
I feel at peace.
Hawks game did damage, but for this series, I do feel good. But, I mean, that really shouldn't come as a surprise because I thought they were going to sweep. But it's tough to figure out what this team is right now.
Well, next time, we just don't make the video, Pat.
Yeah.
You know, don't mock an entire city.
Don't have 15 turnovers in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jamie, but come on.
Let's see if we can do
it. This team's a bunch of givers.
Yeah, they're just nice.
We're heading to Vegas for the draft this afternoon, and we can't wait for it. Hopefully you'll join us Thursday and Friday morning live from the Wynn in Las Vegas. A great, great start for us. Now, Harden's playoff numbers, are they an issue or not? I did a little deep dive. It's the John Kincaid Show. Second half's coming your way. Adam Schefter at 8:10 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Oh, it's me. I'm sorry about that, Pat. You know what? Sometimes your heating and cooling bills, they really drag you down. And that's why Window Nation wants to take care of you now with new windows. And you may say to me, I'm in a little bit of a tight spot right now, John. I can't really afford it. No, but you can. They've got a great deal for you. You're going to buy 2 windows, you're going to get 2 free. So if you need 20, you're paying for 10. And you pay nothing for 2 full years. We're talking no money down, no payments, no interest for some spectacular windows. And you don't pay for them until 2024. It's Window Nation. You say, John, I don't think they have my windows. I got an older house. I have weird shaped windows. I want those bay windows. Don't worry about it. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com. You'll absolutely love the deals. Plus, with 1 million windows installed, plus an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, Window Nation has always got you covered. The heating bills that you paid this winter, they're going to be nothing when you look at the cooling bills that you paid this summer. Why don't you get the windows fixed now and not worry about paying for it for 2 full years? Buy 2 windows, get 2 free, pay nothing for 2 years, no money down, no payments, no interest. It's a great deal. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com, then call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We're halfway home on getaway day for us, heading out to Vegas this afternoon. And Bob is shooting like Matisse Thybul at the trash can for weeks now.
And I can't play defense either.
I would have thought you'd been a hell of a defender.
I did.
Back in the day.
I did like playing defense, and I think I was pretty okay.
How about that meme I sent you guys yesterday? Matisse Thybul.
Awesome. That was a fun meme.
Yeah, Sixers Reddit came out with that one. It was JFK looking old, and it said
Matisse Thybul was the shooter.
That was pretty good. Although I don't take kindly to that.
That was fantastic.
Oh yeah, that's your previous life. I'm
Bob
sorry.
Bob says that was his previous life.
I was JFK. So
it's amazing. Why do you think that mythology? What was that about? Why did you think that?
You just have to trust me on this.
Didn't you vote for JFK?
I don't think he did.
Remember that statement you said earlier about wanting to punch me in the face continuously? I know the feeling.
It comes full circle.
Well,
yeah,
be careful.
It does, doesn't
Welcome
it?
Life's
a
circle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers.
Oh, how fitting.
Visit paworkinjury.com. I don't care if one employee punches the other employee in the face. I don't know if that's Martin Law's sweet spot, but absolutely could happen around here. At any time.
We just have to make sure it's caught on the YouTube camera so we can get some content out of it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Go viral.
Just a little note for you. The city of Houston is reveling in James Harden's struggles.
That's weird.
I know a lot of, I have some compadres down there that do sports radio, and they're all sort of reveling in it. They don't like the way Harden, in their mind, so I tried to solicit yesterday. What is it about Harden and why can't the city forget him? And they're like, and so I get this response. You mean a Philadelphia fan's asking me that question?
I was thinking
the
same
thing. Does the city of Philadelphia ever forget an athlete that leaves town? We don't like it because Harden came up small in so many of the biggest moments. Harden always had a nonchalant, this is what scared me, I've got nothing to prove attitude. In fact, Sean Prendergast is a great host down there. And they have references to James Harden years ago saying, I got nothing to prove. It really bothers me that a guy that's never won a championship and never even played for a championship is a guy who feels he has nothing to prove in his career. Plus, James Harden, for his career, is a 25-point-per-game playoff average scorer. He's a 44% field goal percentage average playoff shooter. He's a 36% playoff guy, average from three. He ain't averaging any of those numbers here in Philadelphia in a first round series. I think that it's weird is that overwhelmingly it was the Houston media. Their belief is this was a guy that winning a title to him, in their opinion, they're not saying his words or whatever, didn't mean as much to him as it meant to the city of Houston.
I would question what more did they want him to do in the playoffs?
Well, those numbers ain't bad at all. But remember, in so many times when it got past the first round, they didn't see the same guy. He does have three of his worst games ever. Are in critical playoff
But he's
games.
Probably what? Their second or third best all-time player?
No question.
Akeem's one, and then Clyde and him is a good debate. I'd probably put Harden slightly ahead.
They look at Clyde definitely
because
ahead of
Clyde's
Harden.
Got rings.
Yeah, they look at Clyde ahead of Harden.
In terms of NBA accolades, it's Harden.
I asked that same question, too. He's a top three all-time Houston basketball player. They said, no, he's third or below.
Okay,
or
whatever. I can't picture a top five all-time Sixer us rooting against. I think that's a big difference between us and them. And whether he came up short or not. I mean, Iverson came up short. He's probably the most beloved guy to ever come through this city. Charles Barkley came up short.
He's
beloved. That's a big difference to me.
Here's one I got. See, here's one of the texts I got. Nonchalance is one thing. Sometimes you perceive a guy as being cool. I've perceived it over time, watching him close up, as being a guy who really wasn't torn up by losing. And again, this is just opinions. These are not facts. These are not that he's a guy who was not torn up by losing. That they would
weird
roll,
to me, they would vote,
by the way, they did
against
not,
them.
By the way, they did not like the fact, too, rolling out to clubs after losses in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, he also took them from nothing to extreme relevance.
He absolutely did.
He played in two Western Conference Finals. Both against Golden State. He averaged 28.4, 7.8, and 6.4. And then they lost in seven games to Golden State. And he averaged 28.7, 5.6, and 6.
And in the one closeout game, he was 0 for 8, I believe. And the other one,
he had two pretty bad games.
Like the two worst games.
I mean, he never averaged under in Houston. I'm just like, I don't know what these guys more they want. In like 13 series in Houston, he never averaged below 24.5 a game. And his last 2 years there, the last 2 years, he averaged 29.7 and 29.4. I don't really know much more you want.
The thing is, we're looking from outside, Pat.
Yeah, that's a good.
And Pat points it out. Like, you laughed at the thing. We obsess over guys who.
Yeah, I can't rip on a fan base cheering against anybody.
And it's overwhelming.
This city is petty.
No, it's not anyone.
Hell.
It's an all-time franchise great.
That's fine.
But it's overwhelming.
But tell me the all-time franchise great here in Philadelphia that we would openly root against. And don't give me Ben Simmons because he's not an all-time great.
No, I mean, Barkley left here as one of the all-time greats.
I pulled for the Suns.
Nobody did that. Iverson, there were tears shed when he left.
That's not a normal thing.
Keep in mind, though, that Harden's still playing. A lot of the guys that we look back on,
we look fondly later.
Yeah, like
I pulled for the Nuggets with Iverson. I wanted to see him win.
But that's different. Like, this city hated Eric Lindros when he left, and it took a couple of years after he retired to come around to realizing he's one of the all-time greats in the franchise. Like, we do come around. It's cyclical. But in the moment when they're still playing, we can't stand him.
And the point,
I think it's weird for Houston to be up this outward.
Well, they think you're
outward.
Weird.
Well, so they are, by the way. And you can go follow any of the guys down there in Houston. They're watching and reveling seeing.
That's bizarre to me.
It is. It's a different thing. But what I will also tell you is that it is overwhelming the same opinion, though. Nonchalant about losing, and also pointed out that up to 3 and 4 years ago, during the Western Conference Finals, I don't feel like this is a report card. I've got nothing to prove.
I mean,
have nothing to prove. You're a competitor. You got nothing to prove. I mean, and he said it again now. I don't think I got anything to prove. What? Are you kidding me?
I don't think he means it. I think he just
says it. Then
why
are you saying it? Who says that?
Because he's putting off the cool guy vibe.
But who says it?
James Harden does.
Yeah, but
apparently
who else?
Throughout his career.
What other great competitor says that? Oh, I don't need to win this series to prove anything. A Kobe Bryant, a Shaquille O'Neal, a whoever it is would say, I'm gonna do everything I do to win. Winning is what matters. Championships is what matters. Saying, I don't care. Yeah, it's not necessary.
Yeah, I take more out of him being on the court and doing that thing that I told you guys last week right in front of me of going, here we go, and being jacked and pumped at the beginning of the game when they were playing well. I also take him the other night, let's go, clapping his hands and screaming at the guys when everybody was walking around with their shoulders down and their chins in their chests. Like, to me, that shows me the guy wants to. What he says behind a microphone about, I don't have anything to prove, maybe it is trying to just distract
the cool vibe. They say the cool vibe.
I mean, are you going to like him better if he breaks down and cries after the Sixers lose a series or something? I don't really take stock in all that much. I mean, his numbers to me tell me he's out there. Plus, in Houston, he averaged like 40 minutes a game.
I got you.
Like, the guy's out there balling. What more do you want?
And the key is here. He's not reaching any of his playoff numbers.
No.
Except rebounds. He's doing better rebounding.
Great.
So he's doing better rebounding. Hey.
Much prefer some scoring.
Hey, May 1st is almost here, and your college student has to make their final college choice. So make sure that you have sat down with them and visited collegeav.com, a better student loan experience. Because I just wanted to get to the bottom of it yesterday, because, Jamie, you asked me, you're like, what's this obsession with them? And I didn't really...
I don't get
really
it.
Really, no, but it's vile.
Like, so they hold him accountable for two bad games versus Western Conference Finals runs versus perhaps the greatest team of all time.
They
there's context to it.
There is, and they also don't believe, though, they're talking about the greatest defensive teams ever.
Yeah. Ran into the Warriors back then 2 years in a row in the Eastern Conference Finals and lost in a game 7, both those times, he would be loved and revered here, much like Iverson was. That's bizarre to me.
Joel Embiid is loved and revered here, and he's never gotten out of the second round.
Exactly my point.
I mean, it's weird.
And look, a lot of the arrows, if they lose to this Toronto team, a lot of the arrows are going to be pointed at him. Afterwards, we're going to hear for the next few weeks about Joel Embiid.
Hey, if you got problems with your building's water and wastewater pump system, I want you to visit PumpManPhilly.com.
Pump, pump, pump!
Pump Man Philly. The guys to know to fix your flow. You can tell Pat's all fired up. We're heading to Vegas later on this afternoon. Unfortunately, we will not be running into the guy that we're going to talk to in the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Keep ready for what's next with Comcast. But he has a great big weekend to celebrate with his family, with a son graduating from Michigan. That is great news, Adam, and congratulations to you. Graduation week. I thought he was with us. Hello, Adam? Adam?
Uh-oh.
He's not with us.
Lost in the Matrix.
You know what? He's like lost in the Matrix. After that beautiful introduction, too.
Wow.
There was somebody probably trying to trade up for Vontae Mack. I'll get him back.
I hope so, too. I hope that. Well, I hope there's like a deal coming down.
Wasted the good surprise on you?
Know what I'm guessing? Is Howie calling him right now?
All right, let's
go. And
hope.
He said, I'm taking Howie's call. And he's not taking the Kincaid show. Are you kidding me? What's going on? Why would I be taking that call? Why am I doing that? That intrigues me.
Something's going on.
That intrigues me. Did he have to hang up?
This has happened before.
Did he have to hang? He did. Did he have to hang up on purpose immediately because of the fact that Howie Roseman was calling? Or somebody. Maybe there was some big move coming on. All right, we're going to try it again. Adam Schefter on the Comcast Business Hotline. Adam, we got you this time.
I'm going through a little bit of a tricky area here. I apologize about that.
That's what it was. I said, yeah. I was wondering if you were using a voice descrambler because you have to keep all your sources very private and everything like that. So we can try to shake you down. We're going to try to shake you down for information today without you exposing anything. Okay?
We're going to do our best that way.
All right, here's where we're going to try our best here with this phone line, too. All right, here's where I'm going to get to first. If I told you that Friday morning, the Philadelphia Eagles made the boldest move up the board, shocking everybody on draft night, you would say, John, maybe you could count on that? Maybe you'd believe that? Or do you aggressively believe something could be cooking?
Yeah, you were cutting in and out, and I apologize, but I think you said if I asked you if the Eagles made the boldest move, what would that be? Is that the question?
No. What I asked is if Friday morning, if the headline was the Eagles made the boldest move up the board to go get somebody, would you think that that would be a surprise to you now that we're 36 hours out of the draft?
I lost it. John, you hear me again?
Okay, we're going to put Adam on hold. We'll try it again. We'll try to get him into a
good
better
times.
Game. Okay. Would it surprise you?
Probably driving. No, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't surprise me
because because the only thing that would make a team more aggressive would be a quarterback need, and the teams I think that mostly want quarterbacks outside of New Orleans and maybe Pittsburgh are kind of already where they need to be. So I don't, unless Pittsburgh or New Orleans, those are the two teams where I go they could be more aggressive if they really want a quarterback and want to get to 10. 11, wherever it is, I could see them making a big move because New Orleans doesn't have a first-round pick next year, and they have Jameis Winston, who could be better, but they don't really have a long-term solution in place there.
Jameis was really good last year.
He was okay. Post-LASIK Jameis. Look out.
All right, we'll try it again with Adam. Adam, are you a little bit better this time?
I hope so.
There
we
go.
But I apologize.
It's all right, dude. No problem at all. Okay, so if I was to say to you Friday morning, that everybody in the NFL is talking, that the Philadelphia Eagles made the boldest move up the board to go grab somebody. Would you be surprised by that, or would you just say, yeah, I could really see that happening?
Well, what's your definition of bold, I guess?
Top six or seven pick.
I don't think they're going that high. I don't think so. I mean, it's just the cost is going to be too great, and I don't think that there's going to be enough interest in somebody go that high. Like, now, I think they're sitting there. What are they, 16 and 19 right now?
Yeah, 15 and 18.
16 and 18.
15.
I think it's the kind of thing. I think it's the kind of thing that if they basically get to a spot where all of a sudden there's a guy there at 10, 11, 12, they go up 3, 4, 5 spots to go get him. That's the kind of thing that I think if there's a guy that they identify and like, that's the kind of thing I think they do. Do I think they're going up to 6 tomorrow night? You know, with this dramatic. I don't think they're doing that. They've worked too hard. They've worked too hard to accumulate all this draft capital to go and spend it on one guy. I don't think they do that. You wanted to trade up for Sauce Gardner, don't you?
Well, I mean, that's one of the names that's out there. I was thinking Kayvon Thibodeau may slide, and that's a guy they'd make a move for.
It wouldn't shock me if he slid. I don't know that that's a guy. I don't know that that's a guy that interests them. I've not asked them how they feel about Kayvon Thibodeau. Obviously, tremendously talented. There are some people who feel like he's going to slide a little bit tomorrow night. But by the way, like it's possible he can go number 3 to Houston. Like you just don't know with this.
Yeah.
It's very. I don't see them moving up for a guy like Kayvon Thibodeau. I don't see that.
Schefter, you talked about the Eagles being in this position, got all this draft capital, and you don't see that they would move a lot just for one player. There are multiple teams
I think they move up some. Like I said, 3, 4, 5 picks, yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
But do I see them, I don't see, to get to number 6 from where they are?
That's 9 spots.
Yeah, I would think that something like that would require a one next year. And I don't see them. How about this? This may be the best way of answering it. I don't see them trading one of next year's ones to go up. Maybe they go up to six or seven, but I don't think there's any way they're dealing one of those extra first round picks from next year to go up. How about that?
That sounds good.
So with multiple teams having multiple picks in this first round, do you see this being a busier traded first round on night one than ever before? Well, not than ever before, but a very busy one.
No. I think there'll be some movement because there's always some movement. But there's already been the exchange of many of these picks. And because of the lack of quarterbacks going in the first round, like I would think we'll get Willis and Pickett for sure. And then some people feel like maybe Desmond Ridder, okay, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. Probably get two at minimum. And do I see somebody trading up for a Willis or a Pickett? Well, I think they trade up if those guys start falling, you know, to a reasonable spot, wherever that is. That could happen. I could see that being the case, that a team makes a play for one of those guys.
So, Adam, you walked me into my next question here, because Pittsburgh and New Orleans both are probably in need of a quarterback and both draft behind the Eagles at 15. Does that 15th pick, if both those teams, it's found out, want a quarterback, does that 15th pick become one of the most valuable picks in that 10 to 20 range?
Well, first of all, I've never thought that the New Orleans Saints traded up for a quarterback. I don't think that's what their intention was when they acquired the extra first-round pick. I think it was the simple fact that they believe that they are good enough to win that division, to beat Tampa, to compete in the NFC, and they see a window here, and they see value in that trade, and let's go out and get an extra good player right to win this year. Now, they like that move. They wouldn't have made it otherwise, and they're gambling a little bit that they're going to be as good as they think, and if they're not, then the move does backfire on them some. But they feel like they're going to get two good players that are going to help them win this year, and I don't think that is a quarterback. I don't think that's a quarterback. So now it's Pittsburgh. So I think what you're talking about with Pittsburgh is, well, with all these other teams, Washington, Detroit, Carolina, all them, does one of them jump up in front of Pittsburgh? I think that is more of the question to me than New Orleans picking a quarterback, I think.
Do you believe
that's my read on it?
Do you believe Adam Schefter joining us on the first two nights of the draft?
Yep.
Will the Eagles focus more on bolstering their defense or doing something more sexy on offense?
Well, I think it maybe both, John, right? Like maybe they go one and one, and it depends on how the board falls. And it just seems like, you know, there's a lot of wide receiver depth in this draft, and maybe they could find a wide receiver in one of their spots. I happen to think the cornerbacks would go early, like Stingley and Sauce Gardner. I don't think that either one of them will slide down to Philly's turn or be in that range. And then is there a pass rusher that they feel like can help them? I don't think they're going into this saying, boy, we want to pick two players for the offense or two players for the defense. I think they're looking at this going in like, we want to get two good players that are going to help us win this year and in years to come. Whoever that is, wherever they may play, whatever side of the ball they're on, I don't think that they're going in saying, we have to address this.
Adam, not only is it a busy night for trades with draft capital, it's also an avenue to open up trades elsewhere around the league. There's some names out there. Debo Samuel, there's been some rumors the Eagles may be tied to him. Becton up in the Jets. Some people think he'll never put on a Jets jersey again. Are there going to be some big moves that are happening not outside of the draft, but on draft night with the league?
Right. I know what you're saying. And I think that the biggest question really surrounds all these wide receivers that we've been talking about. Debo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown, Moore. Right? Like, those are the big name young wide receivers that are out there. Let me say this, that going into the draft, we're a day out of the draft. I would tell you today, and things always could change, but I don't think many people around the league believe that we will see a big name wide receiver traded this weekend. Now, you may see a wide receiver traded, of course. LaVisca Chenault, his name has been out there. other names have been out there. But do I think we're going to see Debo, DK, AJ, Terry McClure? Right now, based on what I've been told, I don't think we will.
Do you think the Eagles would have interest in any of those guys, Adam?
Well, I think every team would have interest in those guys. Every team would have interest in them.
More than just passing interest. To, like, make calls, see what it costs, really talk about it.
Well, again, I think it's incumbent upon anybody looking at that position to call those teams and inquire. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't want to put them in a different category. Like, boy, they're pounding the phones for Debo or DK Metcalf. Because I just think these teams have sent messages to other teams we're not interested in dealing right now. Now, does that change all of a sudden in the first round tomorrow night? That's what I don't know. But I can tell you that the feeling of people around the league one day out of the draft is that we will not see one of those stud young wide receivers traded during this weekend.
Adam, we're looking forward to the draft and looking forward to the big splash. We head out to Vegas this afternoon. So when we go to dinner and stuff, when we say Schefter account, do we say like ESPN? Is there a code word? And I forget because I worked for ESPN so long ago. I don't know if they've changed the policies.
Well, John, you're not corporate Disney. Like they don't have any policies.
Exactly.
Like it doesn't really exist.
I'm using the Mortensen account then. I'm just going with the Mortensen account.
Whatever that means or whatever that's worth, I don't know if anybody's going to recognize that account or my account. Or whatever it is. I don't think there are any accounts out there at all.
Yeah, I remember the policies. Thanks, Shefty. Have a great weekend and congratulations.
Shefty.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy Vegas. Good luck on the draft. It should be a lot of fun for the next few days.
There you go. Adam Schefter joining us in the Comcast Business Hotline. And he's got two phones, like the bat phone and the regular phone.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on with Shefty.
I wonder if there's like the trade phone. Beep, beep, beep. And he had the BlackBerry.
He called us from the Nextel.
So he had to get rid of the BlackBerry. He had the BlackBerry.
Yeah.
He used that till they made him. He's like Doc. Except he's tech savvy.
So he's driving up to Michigan. Does the wife have a phone? Does his daughter have a phone in the back? And they're like, you know, trade phone, give me that. And they're like checking, Dad, you know, Philly's calling. Hold on. Give it.
That's amazing.
They probably have fun with it.
Wait a minute. Dad, Howie Roseman's on this phone. Wait a minute.
He's done some Real Sports with Brian Gumbel pieces. I think he's done two or three at this point. And it is an interesting look into his daily routine of having two phones, where he goes, how he gets there, and just his life. He's chronicled every single day.
Yep.
For the past like 20 years.
The weather right now, warm and sunny in Jamaica. Visit Jamaica. You would absolutely love a trip to the beaches there. Check out our friends. Visit Jamaica and make yourself a great, great trip there. I would highly suggest it to you. All right, coming up, the playoffs. How much has it really sucked compared to before you went through the process? We'll do a comparison. Plus, we got Pat's takes and more. If you want to get in with us, too, and share a thought, pending draft angst, 610-632-0975. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm going to tell you that going through CoPair and CoPairHealth.com and working with Vance, my personal coach is what I would call him through this whole process, I wanted to stop the yo-yo weight going up and going down year to year. I looked at my own medical profile from getting a physical every single year. As a cancer patient, I always do. And year after year, up 18 over the year before 1 year, down 15 the next year, up 10 the next year, up and down. I don't want it anymore. I have no discipline when it comes to just stabilizing a weight and finding the right choices to make. And that's where Vance and CoPair Health are helping me. CoPair Health is absolutely amazing. And it's easy. I've got these high-protein snacks that I can carry with me, too. So that way I can get over this yo-yo dieting thing and find out how to figure this thing out. They're the new standard in weight loss and more personal making great decisions to help change your life. Here's what I want you to do. Call CoPair Health right now. The first 100 Fanatic listeners are going to get 20% off a 6 week or more program. Call now because the offer ends April the 30th. Go to CoPairHealth.com to get started. CoPairHealth.com. You're going to feel better. Lots of you are calling. You're going to feel better. You're going to look better. And hopefully you're going to make some positive changes that are sustainable this time around. Join me in the challenge. Go to CoPair Health.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hopefully your Wednesday is going well. Better than Adam Schefter's phone. But I wonder if Adam gets some misinformation today because of bad phone connections. Like,
you think he misses breaking a story?
Or he gets word that...
Can we get word to him that Sauce Gardner has some, like, character issues that are just arising and we're the first on the case and he should slip to 15?
Well, I mean...
Do you think we could do something like that?
Or Adam could hear something like, Adam, do you think the Eagles are interested in trading for Sauce Gardner? And then Adam tweets out from his account, Eagles trade for Sauce Gardner. There could be. Just watch.
I think that would make me the happiest.
Sauce?
Yeah. Thibodeau's close and Hamilton's close, but I think Sauce is my number one, where my heart desires.
I think Hamilton's my number one.
Hamilton would be my number one if they moved up and got somebody, it would be Hamilton. It's also selfish.
All right, no, I'm Gardner. Yeah, if they moved up to that top spot and got him, I'm good.
Doesn't sound like they're going to. From
That's
what
the
Adam's
only
heard.
One top spot, meaning top like six.
Yeah. So it's just Anthony and Mike will be at Chickies in South Philly tomorrow.
We'll be at Chickies at the airport.
And we'll be in Vegas.
And Chickies in Vegas.
Yeah, see, there's Chickies in Vegas. There's Chickies everywhere. But yeah, that's our destination to go to fly out.
It's our density. Your density?
We hit up our guy Dante down there at Chickies.
Dante Falconeri. Yeah. There he is.
Falconeri?
Yeah, Dante Falconeri's on General Hospital.
Oh, jeez. We're not hitting up a General Hospital guy, man.
But he's really good, though.
Dante Falconeri, whatever his name is, isn't giving crab fries out.
He's not good with Sam. Oh, he's a cop. Dante Falconeri's a cop.
He doesn't make fries like they do down
there. No, they don't. Oh, no. There's no place like at Charlie's Pub, you can't get the crab fries.
Me and Jamie might get a bushel of crabs today and eat them before we go on the plane.
That's a wild
move. You guys are going to stink on the plane.
Yeah, I don't care.
Your hands will stink. It'll
it's
be
not your problem.
Right. Yeah, you're not in my row, so I know that. Hey, April is National Donate Life Month. You can help others by signing up as an organ donor. Learn more and sign up at organdonor.gov, a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Make sure that you do that. So come on and hang out. Jamie, you brought up something yesterday and it just made me go down a rabbit hole because I was like,
I love when I do that too.
You do, and you do, and you just be clear that you bother the hell out of me, which is good. So it's good. You always intrigue me. We got Pat's takes coming up in just a few moments too. You're talking about, well, everything sucked before the process. So I went back and looked at the Sixers. In 4 or 5 years before the process began, made the playoffs. And then I looked at the Sixers, the 4 years they've made the playoffs since the process. Now, it's clear the record's better. The four playoff seasons since the process, the Sixers stand at 22-21.
And that's with the sweep in there by the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, they're still 22-21.
Yeah.
The 4 years, any idea what they were, the 4 years, the four times they made the playoffs? Before the process
they got
began?
Out of the first round, what, one time?
One time.
So you're looking at roughly...
30 games. They played 30 games.
Okay. 30 games, I would say 14-16?
Not bad, but they weren't.
I was going to go close to 500, but 13-17?
I will tell you that I guessed 14-16 like you, Jamie. Mm-hmm. They were 12-18.
Okay.
So they really weren't as competitive as you think. So right now,
if they don't get the Derrick Rose injury, they're probably not even that good.
So right now, they're not more competitive.
But they are.
Back then, they're certainly more competitive today.
Yes.
They were not really competitive. When you're 12-18 in four playoff appearances, you're not really competitive.
You're the Hawks.
Yeah, no, because the Hawks got to the conference finals twice in the last 6 years. I mean, that's different.
Fine.
But... You're only 22-21 since the process in the playoffs. going into tomorrow night's game, and you haven't won a second-round series.
Well, part of that is Joel Embiid's been hurt four of those five playoff runs, which is just great.
It is incredible.
Ben Simmons missed one of them in the bubble, the Mickey Mouse bubble. But
Ben Simmons sucks, and Ben Simmons doesn't
count. Well, Ben Simmons might have been the real reason we won all these first-round series. Ducks. I'm just kidding, guys.
I'm just saying. Seriously, you're going to get something thrown at you. You do that. I'm just saying is that...
Look, they've come up short.
I thought they were more like a 500 team, though, Bob. And I went into it going, Jamie, I don't remember it sucking that bad. Oh, it sucked. When you're 12 and 18, you really weren't that competitive.
No. And look, Dave, Derrick Rose and I think Joakim Noah got hurt in game three or four that series.
Yeah, he did.
Derrick Rose got hurt in game one, in front of me.
If you don't lose those two, you're probably even worse. You're worse.
You're probably 10 and 20.
Yeah. Oh, that Bulls team probably would have swept them.
Yeah. I mean, they were in control with 2 minutes to go, and I turned to Sam Smith, a longtime Chicago writer. I said, Sam, why is Derrick Rose still in the game?
Oh, no.
And you saw, and he went down and tore his ACL just like that. I swear to God, Sam Smith will tell you the exact same story.
Like
every
an
time
assassin
we see each other. Yeah. So the Sixers probably wouldn't have won that series. But to their kind of credit, even after they lost in Game 7 to Boston in the second round, they almost got to the conference final against a Miami team that probably would have thumped them. But the next day, they stood in front. It was Tony DeLeo, Doug Collins, and said, yeah, this team just isn't good enough. We have to blow it up. And that's when they tried to go after Bynum, and then that went to the process, and that's where we are now.
Failure led to the process. I mean, they had to crawl so the process could attempt to walk, and we're drunkenly staggering into coffee table corners left and right.
Hey, protect your home with Dri-Tech waterproofing solutions. Fanatic listeners get 15% off, and all you have to do is mention Mike Messinelli. If you got water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust the experts at Dri-Tech, DriTechCorp.com.
Should have been a writer.
Yeah.
How'd you get that bruise, Cindy? Oh, I don't know.
Before we get to Pat's takes.
Too many Pinot Grigios. He's so awesome, like the man today.
Before we get to Pat's takes. Jamie will tell us something about James Harden's trainer, who can't be working that hard.
Oh, I thought it was a linchpin.
It's a linchpin.
You're just amusing yourself way too much. I just wanted to see if you could.
You're
say
amusing yourself. Yes, very much so.
Anyway, that's another movie reference, Bob. Don't worry about it.
Bob has no idea.
I have no idea what movie you're doing.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. When Jason Segel's getting hammered at the bar and he pretends to be sex in the
best part is,
maybe your acting was terrible.
Probably.
If you look in the background, the one actress walks by. It's not the actress who plays Samantha, but the one actress.
Does she really?
Yeah, she walks by from Sex and the City.
Huh.
She's right behind and she cracks up at it.
That's pretty funny.
That's why he says, I'm Samantha.
Anyway, James Harden's trainer. He's now, used to be a full-time trainer. Now
he's got lots of time.
Yeah, and off-season, now he's an L.A.-based trainer. So whenever James is out in L.A. in the off-season.
Oh, he's training hard, I'm sure.
I think he's a basketball junkie.
I don't know why
like
you think
he's not. Like in physical fitness?
The guy plays 39 minutes a game, usually without it.
I didn't say he doesn't.
But I just think he's a hooper. Like, he loves the gym. I think the guy loves basketball. I do. So when he's out in L.A., he trains with this guy. He used to train with him more and more. Now, I'm going to ask you before I read what he said, do you buy what a paid employee of an athlete says?
No.
Because on one hand, they have more insight than anyone else. On the other hand, they're paid by the guy, so they are going to spin it in a positive way for that athlete.
They're going to paint him as the hard worker. He's relentless. He works hard because they're getting a paycheck. So absolutely not.
Bob, do you buy what a paid employee says about somebody?
Nah, you know, I believe 50% of what I hear and 90% of what I see.
So, okay, fair enough. So the question was asked to the trainer yesterday, why are you and James Harden not training anymore? It seems like he's lost his quick first step.
Okay.
The guy goes on to say, I still work with James when he's in L.A., but it's usually only, you know, like 2 weeks out of the year now. He will be straight. He was rehabbing all summer long and didn't get to hoop or train the same way he normally does or would. A full offseason of training and hooping will be good for him, but imagine averaging 22, 10, and 8 on an off year, laughing emoji. Now, part of me gives this credence because I don't believe you fall off a cliff that quickly.
And I don't believe it's a big fall off a cliff, is it?
His three-pointer percentage has decreased by about 3 or 4 percentage points. He stopped doing that floater in the lane that he was so well known for. He stopped getting guys on his back hip. He kind of lost something.
Okay.
Something's not there. So
I give him the benefit of the doubt that he's still injured in some capacity where he's not fully himself. I do. Just because the body of work says either this is an outlier or I just don't believe he's fallen off a cliff that quickly. I think something's up.
Look, I think I mentioned this yesterday. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were going to miss a game this year in Brooklyn, he said, I got to go out and score 30-plus a game. And he went out and scored 39 and 38. Like, he said he was going to do it, and he went out and did it. I don't think his body will allow him to do that right now.
Yeah, like, he's not getting much elevation on anything.
Yeah, I think there's something there. Or, I don't know if a cliff comes in the middle of the season, but if it does, as far as age, he certainly went off it.
Okay, all the more reason why I'm out on any talk of a long-term contract extension.
I'm not yet.
Absolutely out. Because if this stuff's coming up, whether it's even in his favor, out.
Yeah, but what if he can get better?
I want the 1 year. If he plays on the 1 year,
well, that's James's choice.
It is. I am never signing him to a long-term extension. Never.
I can't say that yet. And I know how, you know, majority of people are going, you're nuts, you can't give him that money. Yeah, I mean, if he's actually injured and it's preventing him from playing the way he wants to, then yeah, I probably sign him again, unless it's some type of degenerative hamstring issue that he's having and he'll never be the same again. I need a serious sit down with a medical professional that knows what's going on with his body and him, and I need brutal honesty.
Yeah, and if it is an injury that he can overcome, say, can this guy be a Chris Paul kind of guy and change his game in that he becomes a leader and an assist guy and just a guy that doesn't have the skills? Like, Chris Paul doesn't have the skills that he used to have, but he's become this leader and this really, really good team glue guy that still has skills. Can Harden become that, you know, where his totals might go from 24, 25 a game down to 18, 19 a game? I don't know. That's a decision the Sixers are going to have to make, and it's going to be hard to put pieces around him, obviously, when you're taking up that contract.
I'm absolutely out. Just on the long-term deal.
The problem is Daryl Morey's not out.
And that is the problem. Because you know what? He may do something self-serving.
I don't even think it's self-serving.
Not looking to the long-term good of the franchise.
I think he's just... He truly believes that this is what's best for the franchise. He thinks that James Harden is what's best. He might be clouded by, you know, his previous stop in Houston there, but...
We will we'll check this one out. Hey, if you're stuck on what to get mom for Mother's Day, give her the gift of floating. With the Fanatics Deal of the Week, this week only, get one 90-minute float at Halcyon Floats. It's just $35. Relax, recover, reset. You can get the deal while supplies last at 975thefanatic.com. And our friends from Halcyon Floats want to give one away to a listener. So how about this? 215-263-0975. First caller at 215-263-0975. We'll get a free 90-minute float from Halcyon Floats. It's great. Take advantage of that deal. Just $35. It's time for Pat to take the center stage.
With or without, either way, it's time for Pat's Takes.
It's such a half-assed interview. It doesn't even introduce me.
It really doesn't. Here's Pat.
For everybody.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Pat. Hi.
Hi, Patty.
Thank you. Sixers fans, unfortunately, we did it all wrong. Well, not everybody, but I'm talking to the guy who last season tried from the stands to show Ben Simmons the proper form in last season's playoff loss to the Hawks. So hopefully he is listening, because after what happened in Brazil, I think that guy in the stands cost us a true playoff run. After Santa Cruz lost to ASA 2-1, one fan thought the goalie needed a one-on-one lesson. And in a video that I just tweeted from our Twitter account, at 975JKShow, you can see the fan jump from the stands and start showing the goaltender what he should have done, how to properly make a save. He gets down on one knee, and he quite literally starts diving around to save the invisible ball that wasn't being shot at him. He wasn't content with sitting in the stands and hoping that the goalie heard his constructive criticism. He took matters into his own hands. So if you're a kid heading to school, use this as a lesson. If you see something, say something. Attack the problem head on. Don't just sit on the sidelines and be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. That fan was taken away in handcuffs.
Handcuffs.
Yeah.
Not handcuffs. Zip ties. They went with the handcuffs. The real ones.
Yeah, the video is hilarious because he's losing flip-flops. as he's diving for his ball. But you can tell he's visibly upset, frustrated as to how the goalie couldn't save, you know, whatever the shot was. But he's just a frustrated fan.
Those things happen, Pat. I think I've seen you want to jump on the ice before to show somebody how to skate.
Have you ever been brought off in handcuffs?
Not yet. I've said it many times. I can't do prison time. But you see what's going on in Minnesota. Those fans are seeing something and saying something. They're so upset, they're trying to glue themselves to the floor. All right, let's move on.
Did you see the record, by the way? 3-0, 0-3 in protest games?
Oh, then
Minnesota needs the protesters.
Somebody has to make up a fake
call. It's the key to the series.
There you go.
It gets in the opponent's head. When you think about contemporary, free thinking, ahead of its time, I'm sure you think of Utah. This is a state that says one wife is cool, but you know what's cooler?
Two chicks at the same time, man.
They're living in 2050 while we putter away in 2022. Prime example of that is a new course at the suddenly popular Westminster College in Utah, who have been flooded with applications after they announced their new course, which will break down porn like Jamie breaks down draft prospects.
What?
The two-credit course description states that hardcore pornography is as American as apple pie. Quote, our approach is to this billion-dollar industry is to both a cultural phenomenon that reflects and reinforces sexual inequalities, Professor Johnny Sins told the prospective students.
Johnny Sins, that's not a real name.
We will watch pornographic films together and discuss the sexualization of race, class, and gender. I don't know what I'm more amazed at. The fact that a guy convinced someone to pay him to watch porn with co-eds and get paid for it all in the name of education, or the fact that I wasn't asked to teach the course after my 20-year research dissertation on the topic. Because of that very research, I have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen if a student is failing and needs a passing grade.
Is OnlyFans part of the course?
I'm sure it'll be discussed at some point. Right?
I learned last night that my wife had no idea what OnlyFans was.
And she watches Euphoria.
Because remember the Catch Me Outside girl?
Yeah.
Daniel Bergoli.
She went on OnlyFans last year. Take a guess how much money she made.
Did she make a million?
I know the answer to this.
She made a million?
How much?
Take a guess.
800,000.
No, way low.
I'll go 2 million.
She made
$53 million.
She made a million.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. She paid
$8 million cash for a house.
As politely as you can say without their kids in cars.
I don't know what she does on
she's
there.
Showing everything?
No. I would imagine. No, she's not?
No.
Wow.
She's well, then why would people be?
To, she hasn't.
She's an. I have heard her interviewed.
Yeah.
What in the hell do people pay to see her do?
$53 million.
I mean, they're waiting. They're waiting to see.
In one year.
I think when every time I hear her speak, I think you could look in the left ear and see out the right.
Yeah, but she's. I mean,
she's not
smarter than me. Apparently,
she must be doing something right because she just paid for.
Exactly.
All right. Today in history, 1956, boxer Rocky Marciano retired.
49-0, if I remember correctly.
Oh, there it go. There it go. Every time I start talking about boxing, a white man got to pull Rocky Marciano out their ass. That's the one. That's the one. Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano. Let me tell you something wonderful. Rocky Marciano was good. But compared to Joe Louis, Rocky Marciano ain't
I literally just wanted to play that clip.
Eddie Murphy's so good.
1961, NFL.
He's the best.
Go ahead.
He's just one of the funniest people I've ever seen.
We just love
that whole barbershop scene.
Raw and Delirious are two of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I love so many things he was in, except the Dr. Doolittle crap.
1961, the NFL officially recognized the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And in 2017, the NFL draft was held. Do you remember who went first overall?
In when?
2017.
It was
defensive player.
27. Javion Clowney.
No, Miles
it was
Garrett.
Here, wasn't it?
Miles Garrett.
Oh, Miles Garrett.
And it was here, right?
2018 was here because they were the defending Super Bowl.
Yes.
No,
2017 was here.
2017 was here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
That was Miles Garrett.
Dallas was the year that they were the champs. So, all right, got a lot coming up in the last hour of the show. We're ready to head to Las Vegas. You'll be heading there with us in spirit, unless we see you at the airport. It's John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. And with Mother's Day almost here, I'm telling you right now, guys, you're like 10 days out. You're not going to want to go to the grocery store and pick her up flowers. By the way, Mom knows the grocery store wrapping. She knows you didn't even give it a thought. Give it a thought this year with Steven Singer. Steven Singer Jewelers has their brand new creamsicle 24-karat gold dip rose. Remember Mom taking care of you, making sure that everything was covered for you and giving you a sweet frozen treat in the summer? Well, it's a beautiful
new color. And at IHateStevenSinger.com, you can view his entire collection. They start at just $59. If orange isn't her choice, then go to one of the other gray colors. What I can tell you is right now, it is going to be absolutely beautiful. This is a real rose, pure 24 karat gold, dipped, and it's preserved and guaranteed. It's going to last a lifetime. Plus, it'll get there by Sunday, May the 8th. Plus, you get fast and free shipping. Also, you get free personalized love note and free lifetime guarantee. And it will arrive before Mother's Day. So do not wait, because these always sell out. See the entire collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
7.5 The Fanatic.
The 9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. By the way, it will be the end of a heat wave in Las Vegas when we arrive. The heat wave will be ending. And then it's going to be beautiful mid-80s and low 60s when we are out and about to do our show.
Lovely.
Coming and going. So you might want to have like a... I was going to say to Jamie, you might want to have a hoodie. But
This is the one long sleeve.
I don't know why I would bother with that.
This is my one piece of non-short clothing.
Yeah, why would you not need that? It's going to be awesome. Shorts.
Flip-flop weather.
Well, flip-flop weather for you began as soon as it hit 70?
It's actually out there.
It hit 70, and you do the pedicures?
I've done one in the past, but I don't do them
just
regularly.
One?
Yeah, and I really liked it.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. Bob doesn't like the pedicures.
No, I'm good.
It's nice, Bob.
Pedicures fantastic.
I'm reading about the Miami Heat and Victor Oladipo.
What are you reading about?
Pedicures. They just make me nervous.
Miami,
you know, you sit out Jimmy Butler last night. You sit out Kyle Lowry last night. They plug in Victor Oladipo, who's appeared in 96 of a possible 309 regular season games the past 4 years. And he comes in and has 23 points on 8 of 16 shooting. You know, you have a Tyler Hero who's probably going to be sixth man of the year, who just can shoot the lights out of the ball. And John, you brought up earlier about all the points they scored in the paint against Atlanta.
Was it close to 60?
54 they had last night. Yeah,
and I wonder. Look, I'm going to worry about Miami as soon as we're done with Toronto, but that is scary.
Yeah,
it's very scary.
I don't want to look ahead, but last night. Them taking care of Miami on Atlanta on a night where they just said, "Hey guys, take a rest. We got this. We're up 3-1." Good for them.
Just so you know, should the Sixers close out Toronto tomorrow night, they will not play until Monday night. Monday night will be the opener in Miami, and I believe it is going to be a Monday Wednesday, and then that would bring you a Friday Sunday potential.
Home game.
At Wells Fargo.
Nice.
So that wouldn't be bad.
Friday night home game would
Friday
be cool.
And Sunday would be a lot of fun. So, but the series would not begin until Monday. And
so
it's already
three,
set in stone.
Three straight weekends of playoff basketball will be at the Wells Fargo Center.
Let's hope. Because you'll have one on this Saturday. You see, I don't want that though, Bob.
But it's.
I don't want you speaking.
I'm trying to prepare you,
what
John.
What I want you to do is I want you to all now.
Don't worry about the heat.
I'm going to put down names on my list here. And I'm putting Bob. And I'm putting Jamie, and I'm putting Pat, and I'm putting John. Here's what we're going to do. This is a game. We did not do this last year, and it was something that I always did around the draft, and last year I forgot about it. But I want to do it this year. I want us all to speak in first-round absolutes. This is just the first round of the draft. And I want you to make, like, absolute statements. And I'll give you a clue. I absolutely do not want the Eagles to select a quarterback in the first round. Things like that. But try to make it that by Friday morning, we can look back at some of these absolute statements we made and see whether the Eagles went against our advice, whether this player dropped in the draft. I absolutely believe player A is going to plummet in this draft. Whatever it is, I'm going to get it started. I absolutely believe the Eagles will not draft at 15.
I absolutely believe that the Eagles did nothing much to help Jalen Hurts for this coming season.
Okay, let me just make sure I get that one down there. Not much to help Jalen Hurts. Got it?
I absolutely believe they're going to leave the first round with a defensive lineman.
So you say a defensive line. We're just doing first round again, Pat. So Jamie says there will be a defensive lineman.
Absolutely believe they won't draft a kicker.
No, wait a minute. Let's go with something. That is good.
Bold and beautiful.
That is.
I absolutely believe they won't draft a quarterback.
Some Egan.
So you absolutely believe that. Well, that was my example. You don't really want to use that one.
Why? I think it's true.
Because that was the example. Well, that was the example.
But I think it's true. All right, yeah. I'd fine. Give me a go. Offensive lineman.
There will be no offensive
lineman. No, I don't think they'll draft an offensive lineman in the first two rounds.
Oh, no, we're going first round. This is just first round.
First round.
Remember?
I don't think they'll draft an offensive lineman until round four.
He's all excited. He's got his candy bags packed. I don't know what's going on.
Is he finding
here.
Hard with this?
I'm already chickies in the airport.
To
you
play
guys
this game?
Here, I'm there.
All right, I will go again.
Still first round.
Who? Yes.
Okay.
Do not draft Treylon Burks. Do not draft Burks.
Why did he say that?
He is the wide receiver that I absolutely do not like his game and do not want him.
Oh, he intrigues the hell out of me.
I do not want Burks. Do not want him. Do not absolutely do not draft Burks.
All right. I'm going to say something that's going to tickle John's
really?
Fancy.
You can do that.
The Eagles will absolutely pick a player from the University of Georgia in the first round.
Okay. I love that.
It's a good one.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Where are you going, Jane?
I'm gonna go with the absolute because it's what I believe, and I'm kind of tipping my hand here for beat the bro a little bit.
No, that's good.
I absolutely believe they're going to take a wide receiver.
Absolute wide receiver.
You and I are
will
exact
be selected.
Opposites on
yes.
Absolute.
That's interesting because there's so much to be determined there. Patrick?
I absolutely believe that they'll draft a wide receiver.
So you absolutely say, we'll...
No, I'm just trying to see if I can get John's face beat red. I absolutely believe they won't stay at 15 or 18.
Yep. Well, I've already said that.
No, you said 15.
No, I said 15 and 18 all along. They will. I said it 3 weeks
you
ago.
Think, you don't think they'll trade? They'll stay at either of those.
Either of those positions.
Oh, crap, man.
Well, you just kept. But no, it means great minds.
That was the honest one that I
had. It means great lines. Great minds think alike. Think of another one.
Oh my God.
Well, we can come back. You're having trouble with this game.
This isn't good for me.
No, it's not.
No,
yeah, I'm not.
This is sort of like last week. It's not.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you another one. I absolutely believe. I absolutely believe the Eagles will recover what they used to trade up by trading back the 18th pick, maybe out of the first round.
I can see that.
They will look to recover the capital by trading the trading the 18th pick.
I absolutely believe that the Eagles will...
It's hard when you go, because you're going absolute. We're looking at these Friday morning.
Yeah. I absolutely believe that the first player the Eagles take in this draft will not be an every down player.
Okay.
Screw you, Bob. Why would you say that?
Did you go that way, Jamie, or was he stealing yours then?
No, I don't want to see somebody drafted like that's not an every down player.
Okay. Pat, you do
now
have
you
one?
Wait your turn.
Pat can put one in because he's a little behind here, Pat.
All right. I absolutely believe that we will not all be thrilled with what they do on draft day. Somebody is going
see,
to
see now that's
off.
Not a bad one. That's,
yeah,
a, that's
that one
not
didn't
a bad
suck, Bob.
Okay.
Good job not sucking.
So somebody is going to take center stage on Friday morning being pissed off about who they went with.
All right. I absolutely believe there will be a rumor that came out that they tried to get up to so-and-so spot but couldn't.
To get who? You have to tell us who.
Let's go with Sauce.
Okay.
They absolutely called Carolina at 6 to try and get up, but they couldn't get it done. Well, that's a spin coming out of Novacare.
It's a good one. The last one is, I absolutely believe the quarterback rush will not happen until the teens.
It's not a bad one.
Okay.
All right. I absolutely believe that John will be hugely disappointed that the Eagles didn't take an available Kyle Hamilton.
Ooh, see, that's a great one.
That's
one.
Spicy.
Way to put it on the table.
That's a good one, though, but I like that one. One more.
I absolutely believe the Detroit Lions will screw it up.
Well, we won't know if they screwed it up for years, right?
Well, we might.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm running out of absolutes.
Okay, Pat, you have one last one?
I absolutely believe that the Eagles will use pick 15 against the Steelers and the Saints.
Okay, Steelers, Saints.
They'll start leveraging both of those because of a quarterback being available.
Okay, I've written them all down, and we will review these on Friday morning.
This should be fun.
And it'll be interesting because it's something that...
I think what for yours, can we clarify what you mean by quarterback run?
Do you mean first
quarterback taken?
No, when all of a sudden you see
like two and
three quarterbacks taken in 6 picks.
Okay.
One could go
in the top 10, but you're talking about...
One could go in the top 10, but then we might see 11... 12, 15,
right.
Something of those lines. I do not believe you're going to see 3 quarterbacks taken in the top 10, and I still hear people...
Not in the top 10.
Yeah, but people are still pushing that.
I bet in the top 20, though.
That could very well happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to benefit the Eagles.
Matt Corral kind of intrigues me the most.
I've already said it to you. I absolutely am intrigued.
And that's another injured guy. You could kind of get devalued.
Yeah, but he's an injured guy who just got injured in a game. He's not an injury-prone guy. Hey, Staples stores are a new world of possible. We got innovative tools for small business, remote workers, and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com. The Flyers and the Jets tonight.
Nice. Did you say you wrote them down?
I got them all down.
Okay, because I got them all down here.
No, I got them all. I got them all down here.
All right.
I wrote them all down, and then Friday morning we will review them on the show. And we will see if any of them, stand out.
And you're looking live at the Wynn Casino in Las Vegas.
We will be at the Wynn.
Where we look like idiots on Friday morning.
There is a phenomenal restaurant right by the Wynn Casino.
Is that the steakhouse with the waterfall?
That's the one. No, the one I told you where the movie Casino, a lot of it was shot. I used to go there. I went there, I don't know how many times when I was there for Summer League, and I can't remember.
Piro's. Piro's.
Yes.
Piro's is...
Yeah, we should try.
Piro's has been used in multiple movies.
Yes.
I am partial to a Batista's Hole in the Wall, which is right around the corner from Bally's.
Dave Bautista? Great wrestler.
It's not Jim Bautista either. So, Bob, we're not talking about the Donaghy story.
Partial little place that when you're there, your family, the Olive Garden.
That'd be grounds for you to end up in a dumpster. Or a bagster.
A bagster, yeah.
They put you in a bagster.
It's the dumpster in a bag.
Wouldn't be the first time I got out.
By the way, Olivia the other day, and I shouldn't do this to the bagster people, but Olivia came up with a theory at dinner the other night, and she wanted to tell her Uncle Anthony.
Oh, yeah?
So she actually, made a video for Uncle Anthony, said hello to him and everything, and then she was like, you know, the bagster would be a great thing for hitmen. She said you could use the bagster for hitmen.
To dispose of bodies?
She okay?
She goes, they would be a great thing. Because they come and pick it up. So you load it with junk and everything. Uh-huh. They come and pick it up. They take it away. And then they come back to you and said, there was a body found. And go, not when it left my house. There was just junk in there. Someone else must have done it.
Keep a little away from me.
She could run a crime syndicate. And she wanted to tell Uncle Anthony that this would be... I said, I don't think he's going to use that in his reads.
I'm looking forward to Olivia making her Netflix murder doc debut.
Believe me, she loved... Pat, she's already been dissecting the... Again, she hasn't decided whether she wants to maybe pursue law, but she literally has notes of how she would have attacked the ex-wife in the Johnny Depp case.
Oh, Amber Heard.
How she would have cross-examined her.
She pooped the bed, apparently.
And she would have absolutely done. Like, here's all the things, Dad, where I would be attacking her.
You talking about Amber Turd?
Yes. And she
can't be pooping.
She studied the testimony.
Apparently, her own lawyer objected against himself yesterday.
It's a clown show. It really is a clown. He is such an unsympathetic figure, though.
Johnny Depp.
Apparently, she seems like the worst.
Yeah, another one of those
details of this trial.
He does a lot of charity work, though. Like he would routinely go as Captain Jack to like children's hospitals, dressed up, and he did that a lot. I know what you're saying, but like I don't think
he hasn't been a good guy.
I don't think he's a bad guy.
I don't know him, to tell you the truth.
I mean, me and him hung out, so I can say front first hand.
Well, you guys go to the candy store.
Yeah, we're boys.
Well, I mean, it's a when she went to he was in my brother-in-law Steven's high school class at Miramar High School. And somehow he picked up an accent.
What I was going to say.
Where did he pick up the accent?
All of a sudden he has this unbelievable accent, and he's born in Kentucky.
No, and he's from Miramar High School in suburban Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And he all of a sudden, I'm Johnny Depp now. Oh, Madonna, how are you? You're from Detroit. Oh, really? Oh, I'm from Detroit.
Not a lot of drugs.
Can we just soak that horrible Johnny Depp
impression?
Oh, God.
You dip Madonna in there?
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the story was junior year he dropped out. I don't know if that was real or if that's urban legend, but he's in some of my brother-in-law's yearbooks.
Randy Rubart says he's only second to John Cena in terms of like Make-A-Wish, Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow, like
appearances of Make-A-Wish stuff. Like, that's pretty cool.
No, that's absolutely cool. Yeah, when you go to children's hospitals on your free time.
Your family.
Yeah. I don't think that's what they say, but sure.
Well, none of that.
I think that's the one instance that doesn't apply.
Yeah, I don't think that really applies there.
You just don't want to be the maid cleaning up the rooms after Johnny Depp's been there.
No, it's not Johnny Depp. It's Amber Heard.
She's pooping everywhere.
Right. No, I'm not talking about that. She's destroying hotel rooms, too.
Sixers game.
You know, so it's good. Tomorrow. All right, let's find out. The Philadelphia Flyers are ready to
put us out of our misery.
Well, it would be putting Jason Martinez out of his
business. Yes, he's got it the worst.
There you go. Jason Martinez joining us.
The bed.
Amber Turd, Jason.
I knew that.
Oh, my gosh. He's been waiting to get into that one.
Amber Turd.
You're getting put out of your misery here. And if I was to ask you, could you find three promising things out of this season?
Yeah, I could do it.
Other than the season being ended, give it to us.
Well, that was number one, damn it.
Oh, well, I can't do that one. No, I mean, seriously.
Two games left would have been the number one thing.
I don't know, I'm trying to think of the positives that are like, okay, what happened in 2021-22 is going to be a building block for 23. I don't see it.
Well, they need high-end talent. They don't have that. They got a lot of guys, like, kind of in that middle six area. And the college guys that have come up, John, have been really good. I mean, Noah Cates has 10 points in now 14 games. You're not supposed to step out of the NCAA and have that kind of production. So he's been really good. Bobby Brink's another guy that has shown promise. Addard's a guy that's shown a skill set, but he's a little raw as a defender, so he'll probably have to spend some time in the AHL to adjust. And then you look at, you know, Owen Tippett's got a real good skill set. He can really skate. He can shoot the puck. You can see why he was drafted 10th overall back in 2017. And Morgan Frost game's coming around. So there's some positives with some of the young players. You know, when you look at some of the veteran players, you know, Couturier coming back, the fact that he's on the ice skating already after that back surgery is a good thing. But you never like to hear those two words back-to-back, back surgery, in any sport for a 29-year-old that's played a lot as well. But a lot hinges on Ryan Ellis, and there's still so much ambiguity about what's going on with him. I think he's getting treatment at Area 51, so you know that's a big part of it. But you know, the way Carter Hart bounced back this year, even though his numbers aren't great, I thought was impressive. He played well despite his environment not being very good. So there are some positives. They're hard to find, but if you looked deep enough, I guess you can find something. But you still need high-end talent to succeed in this league. That's what you need.
Someone told me the name Kirk Muller is one to potentially keep an eye on. Had anyone heard that around you?
It's a name I have not heard. But, you know, I'm not – for the next coach, John, I think it's real – like, we got to not get caught up in the name. Like, it doesn't need to be, you know, like Alain Vigneault was a big name. He was named a week after the season in 2019.
Okay.
So he was named April 15th. Sometimes you get caught up in the name, whether it's Tortorella or Claude Julien. But it doesn't need to be one of those guys. It needs to be the right guy. So who cares what the guy's name is? It's just got to be the right guy. You know what I mean? And that's going to be a real determining factor on what route they're going to go this offseason. You get your first kind of indication when you see who the coach is.
Now, when you say right guy, Jay, right guy, like give a description of what a right guy might be
for what they have to do. With that, Bobby, is you got to figure out what direction you're going. Are you going in a quick, you know, retool direction and trying to win really quickly?
That
or are you trying
to
develop some of these younger players? And I think the way that some of these younger guys have played alters their perception or their timeline and how they want to do things. I think it brings in a bit more of a patient approach and more of like kind of a recoil as opposed to this aggressive retool, which I didn't think was possible anyway. The recoil is somewhere in between a rebuild and a retool. It's kind of that middle ground, couple years, kind of like the Los Angeles Kings did, not this full tear it down to the studs, because they're not in a position to do that with a lot of contracts that they have.
Can you explain to me what Chuck Fletcher has done to earn the ability to rebuild this team?
Well, I mean, look, a lot of it stemmed from when you judge a general manager, you got to almost go back 5 years to kind of see how the table has been set. And the Nolan Patcher thing, Pat, screwed him six ways to Sunday. Because they move up, they get that pick. They trade Braden Schenk because they move up because they think they got a ready-made third-line center in Nolan Patrick. Problem is, it turns out he's an absolute mutt. You know, almost as much of a mutt as Ben Simmons, but not quite. So much happened. When he's not available, they go out and they sign Kevin Hayes to that deal. Now, Hayes has been decent in the part where he's come back this year, and he was good in his first year, but it's still an overpayment. So much kind of fell from that, the ripple effect of Nolan Patrick is all over this organization. But one thing that Chuck Fletcher and Brent Flair do well is they draft well. They drafted well in Minnesota. That entire core there is their draft picks, from Kaprizov to Spurgeon to all those guys. So they draft well. They need to get better at developing players, and they need to find a way to get high-end talent. And that may be through next year's draft,
so
not this year's draft.
They draft well, and then they trade their first-round pick for Rasmus Ristolainen?
Well, they drafted Tyson Forster before that.
He's very promising.
Yeah, I mean, that was the market for Rasmus Ristolainen.
And, yeah, and that was the market for him.
Okay,
yeah,
you just don't make that trade then if that's the market. Let somebody else make that
trade. Well, he was an expiring contract, so there was a lot of risk in that. I agree with you. But he's a player that they needed. He's a player that brings something that they sorely lacked, some physicality. Matter of fact, they need more of it, to be honest with you.
Hopefully you will have a good off season, where you will give us some promising stories of the future being bright.
Yeah, well, that's going to be predicated on what they do. So no matter what they do, though, John, whether they go out and sign Johnny Gaudreau, who's having a legendary season, plus 60. I mean, two players have done that in the last 40 years, Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky, and that's it. If you signed him or you made some big deal, still you got to temper your expectations because so much still rides on Ryan Ellis.
You're the man. Thanks, Mert.
Boys, have a great day.
All right, buddy. We'll be in Vegas. We'll say hello.
See you, Jason.
Say hello to everybody in Las Vegas for Jason Martinez. What the Puck. He tried all year long. He tried giving us...
It's a tough job.
That was the perfect name for his segment, too. Because watching that team...
It was.
I think
what the Puck.
Yeah. Switch the P with an F, and I think you've got the saying the slogan for most Flyers fans.
I think we may need it next year, too.
I see what you did there, Pat.
Yeah, they started with hashtag bring it to broad and ended with what the Puck.
We may need it. I think next year that they could have, Bill Strobel with what the Puck all over town. I think it'd be more appropriate. All right, coming up, the listener-directed segment of the day, and it involves our trip to Las Vegas. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. That Bet Parks app, it is awesome. Did you realize right now, though, if you want to get involved with the NBA playoffs, it is your absolute best spot to do it because the Bet Parks app is the official presenting partner of the 76ers 2022 playoffs. The Phillies are a huge home favorite over Colorado. So, got a Suarez night. You feeling good? The over-under is 8.5 runs. Phillies bats have been cooking. If you're looking to the NBA playoffs, Milwaukee is a 12-point favorite looking to close out Chicago. Golden State, a 9-point home favorite over Denver looking to close them out. If you're looking towards tomorrow night and you want to get on the line early, the Sixers, a 1-point road favorite over Toronto. The over-under, 209 points. You get a $750 risk-free bet if you use promo code Kincaid. If you're in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you can do it. Go to betparks.com and use my promo code Kincaid. It's go time. You got to be 21. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're winding down, well, really winding up towards Cuz Radio, where Connor Thomas is doing a great job filling in for Chunas this week. Doing an exceptional job. And Chunas having baby coop home. That's awesome.
That is terrific.
That is an awesome.
I called him the other day. And he texted me back later. He said, hey, I saw you called. Sorry, I couldn't get it. A little busy here learning diapers and baby stuff. I said, no sweat.
One of the most terrifying nights of my life was the first night home with the baby.
Why?
You're just on your own. And there's no user's manual. Even when they're sleeping, you're nervous. Are they breathing? You know,
I would put
my finger in front of her nose. Okay, she's breathing.
Number one fear.
I couldn't sleep. It's a whole new world, man.
With our first baby.
It's great in hindsight, but in the moment, it's kind of terrifying.
Our first baby's first night home, Bobby's first night home, I told Donna to go to bed, and he was in a bassinet downstairs. She came down, I didn't even hear, and I was just standing there with a spoon under his nose to make sure he was breathing.
Yeah, just because you don't know. That was always my biggest fear.
The drive home from the hospital, I think I went like 3 miles an hour.
I never did that. I was never concerned.
Really?
Yeah, I never checked the breathing thing. I might have done it once or twice when you're like looking at him or her sleep, and you're like, I haven't seen that chest moving a little bit. But other than that,
odds on you, Pat, not being concerned, I would have sold them on PropSwap. Find the best odds and turn the hardwood into hard cash. Pick your favorite teams now and sell them whenever you want, and it's all from your phone. Download the app or head to PropSwap.com.
He's an artist.
I sleep the sleep of the death. Absolutely. Like, you could come into the room, as my wife would say, you could move furniture in the room with me in it asleep.
Oh, wow.
And I'm out. And no sound machine, no earplugs, nothing. I'm out.
You talk in your sleep?
I do not anymore. I used to. I used to when I do not.
Occasionally I will.
I do not. But I used to, Pat. When we were first married, I would. And she said that all went away. But
she beat you down so much that she shut you up even in your sleep.
I used to be a sleepwalker.
Really?
Yeah, I was a sleepwalker because when we were first dating, she would say to me, oh, that's a nasty bruise. Where did you get it? I'd say, I have no idea.
You put the pillows in the oven.
Like, I had no idea. So
many pina coladas. I'm crazy.
Then she found out, here's John getting up and walking in the middle of the night. Just walking around the house.
Did you put her purse in the freezer?
No, I did not. Very good. See? He remembers that reference.
Stepbrothers?
Oh, you don't remember?
You don't remember?
I'm so done with you.
So I would walk around the house, and so she had fallen under the false pretense of you're never wake a sleepwalker. That's completely false, by the way. That's absolutely false.
My wife
You wake a sleepwalker very easily.
She got to her neighbor's house, and the neighbors walked her back home and woke up her parents.
I almost got out of a hotel room into the hallway completely naked. In New Orleans.
That's just par for the course.
New Year's Eve leading into, so it was already New Year's Day, and I was banging the door because it was, there was that lock, the lock on the top.
All of a sudden, John came back with a bunch of beads having no idea how he got them.
No idea. And they were strung around something. But I luckily never got out the door because my wife heard the noise and was like, what is that? And then saw that I wasn't there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I used to do the sleepwalking thing, and that stopped. After Olivia was born, the sleepwalking stopped.
We had a fellow sports writer who was in a hotel after maybe going out for a little bit that night. and got up in the middle of the night, and he sleeps natural, and got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, opened the door, door closed behind him, realized he was in the hallway.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no, 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 no.
It made for quite a funny story that I'll just keep to myself.
Yeah, where could he have carried his key card? Well, yeah, there you go. Was that there. Yeah. We have our listener-suggested segment of the day.
Really, we do.
We do.
I swear, it's close.
It's really, really good.
And we were going to start it right now.
Here is the listener-suggested segment of the day.
Pat's already at gate A13.
I've already got crab fries.
Jumping on Swedish fish and some crab fries.
Jacked up on Mountain Dew.
David Parian sends us in this one. He said, I was thinking of your show trip to Vegas and imagining the movie The Hangover. Who would be most likely to have a run-in with the law? Out of our group.
I mean, I think everybody's going to point the finger at me.
You're very affable. I actually think I would answer it myself.
Really?
That I'd, like, take offense that something was going on or...
Yeah, I could see you at a blackjack table, like, maybe...
Well, not a blackjack, because I don't talk. Remember, I don't talk at the blackjack table.
But if somebody had, you know, hit when they shouldn't have and was doing it all night and affecting your hands...
Oh, that would piss me off, yeah.
I could see you, like, starting to steam.
Who might lose it all while they're gambling?
I thought about this... Because I saw it in the email last night. I think it's actually Egan if he was a gambler.
If he was a gambler?
Because he doesn't have a lot of vices that maybe some of the others of us do.
1,000%.
So he might get on tilt and chase that high and just risk it all.
Yeah.
Egan was mine.
Egan's mine on that one, too.
Like
if you were a gambler, though.
I mean, I like to play blackjack.
Right.
But I need something like your envelope technique.
And I've got my envelopes.
Or I will.
They're already packed. I stopped by the WISFIS.
Ah, we stand for service.
And I got my, we stood for blackjack funds. And I even broke it up, and the lady was like, what are you breaking them up into? What's the like thing? And I said, I want to have money to be able to tip. So I want to have fives, I want to have ones, I want to have tens. She goes, you're methodical. And I said, absolutely. You don't know the half.
That's the word she used, methodical?
She said methodical.
Oh, okay.
And I said, you don't know the half.
I have a couple different ones in my head, but whatever.
Who might be most likely to be overserved? In Vegas.
Oh, I'll take the honor there.
No.
Yeah, I'd go Jamie.
I'd go Bob.
Nah, I don't do that.
Yeah, I bet you don't.
He's not that guy, Pat.
After spending a day at three breweries with this guy, I can tell you that they both drank the same amount or just about, and one seemed way more drunk than the other. So Bob would absolutely be overserved because people wouldn't realize how drunk he is.
Oh.
But you hold it well.
Okay.
Jamie was, clear as day. Jamie was loving life.
That was fun.
He has his wife.
Your videos were great. Yeah,
he was hysterical.
But Bob was just kind of in a giggle fest.
Because I was watching drunk Jamie.
Well, gentlemen, I like double and triple IPAs.
Gentleman asking me, here he goes, your brother was in law enforcement, you got family in law enforcement, and you don't respect the law? I said, no. I could see myself saying, first of all, I could see myself saying at some point, like stepping in on something and then a policeman says, hey, don't get involved. Step back. Hey,
listen. And I could see you still going. Like, no, wait a minute. Let me explain. And the guy's saying, dude.
Get out.
Shut
leave.
Up and move. And move. John just No.
Let me explain it for you. I could see John being tasered.
No, I would never get to that level.
I could see that. I agree with you. Absolutely. Yeah.
By the way, Doc used to have to get tased.
And don't think for a second
that cops have to get it.
They get tased.
Yeah. Don't think if you don't get tased in Vegas that I won't sit there, whip my phone out, record it, and yell World Star.
We would have a blast. We would have a blast if that happened.
How does he say the tase is? I've always been curious.
It stings.
Oh, really? We could do it.
It stings.
It just, yeah.
No, it stings. It's a joke.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
But it's not.
But like 30 minutes after, you're fine?
I think like... before then.
Okay.
But it is shocking to your system. Hey, you have a segment idea for us, you can send them along, myjkshowsegment@gmail.com, myjkshowsegment@gmail.com. Do you think the ghosts of playoff past, last year's Hawks series, is affecting that locker room at all? The collapse of last year, three epic collapses. In fact, the three largest leads ever blown in a series where a team won three games and they went on to lose the series. So last year's epic, it was one of the worst collapses in the history of the NBA. Do you think those dark clouds are in the back of players' minds in that locker room, Bob?
I think you look too closely at the individual task at hand. you know, this Toronto team, why are they solving us? Why aren't we doing what we did in the first couple of games? This is how I think the Sixers are thinking and professional athletes think. But I'd be lying if I didn't say after they lost game five at home that it wasn't maybe in the minds of Embiid, Green, Maxey, Tobias, guys that were here last year, that they didn't say, oh, God, what is going on here? Why can't we close out games at home? It has to be in the back of their mind, sure.
I think I'd be more worried, Jamie, if it's a game seven than a game six.
Yes, I agree. And I think it would be in the back of their minds. I mean, Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, don't forget. Tyrese Maxey's probably too young where he shakes that off. Danny Green, he's probably been through it enough where he can probably shake that off. But Tobias and Joel, yeah, you're not shaking those ghosts very easily. Those were some scary ghosts last year.
Oh, my gosh. The collapse of that.
I really want this handled Thursday night. Not saying they can't win a game seven. I just don't want to see it.
Those are the three biggest blown leads, ESPN stats and information, three biggest blown leads ever by a NBA playoff team in a series where they were so heavily favored. They're the most favored team ever to have that happen to them.
Yeah, it kind of bothers me that all these things go on around the Sixers. You mentioned that. This year, the first time ever a team didn't lead in regulation and wound up winning a playoff game. Like, why are all these... And of
oddities.
Course, 143-0 teams that were 3-0 up wind up winning the series. Why are all these numbers always surrounding the 76ers? I just don't get it.
Well, the one constant is Joel Embiid. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's the constant that's been there.
But what's weird, though, is that I keep... I don't know why I feel so confident about Game 6.
I don't know why I do either.
I have absolute calmness about it.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys do either.
Yeah,
I have no idea why. And Bobby,
part of it's probably just that they can't be that bad three games in a row. Like, I would find that hard to believe, I guess. I mean, it's certainly possible, but I don't think it's
going to happen. I have a hard time believing they'll lose four games in a row. So even if they do lose Thursday, I'll probably be a little nervous, but...
Oh, I'll definitely be nervous.
Oh, I'll be nervous.
Four games in a row.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Oh, I tell you, I'd remove us,
knowing this team, analyzing this team, being fans of this team, whatever. Just remove that. Is a team that hasn't lost four games throughout the course of the regular season really going to do it in the playoffs?
I'd be ready to pass out. Oh, my gosh.
My optimism for this direction of the team will just be in the toilet.
Well, it's...
Plunger needed.
And it should be.
Yeah, and I don't know if just winning this series should change that, James.
I think you're overrating the Heat a little bit.
No, I'm not even talking about the Heat. I'm talking about just the Sixers. You said that your direction of this team will be really bad if they lose this round to the Raptors. They could win a close game, Game 6. I'm still worried about the future of this team.
Well, then I just kick to the next round, and how do they look versus the Heat?
Yeah, okay.
And if they look good versus the Heat, my optimism will be more open. If they look bad versus the Heat, it's probably right back to the toilet.
If you're making plans for Saturday, a certain gentleman shares with me the schedule grid that the NBA works off of and the potential algorithm here. If Phoenix closes out New Orleans in Game 6... and if Dallas closes out Utah, then the Sixers will be the only Game 7 on Saturday.
Right.
So they would most likely be prime time.
Ooh. Yeah, we want to talk about
that. They would make
that
prime time TNT on Saturday. That would be prime time. So you need Phoenix to drop off and Dallas to drop off.
How about that Mikal Bridges kid last night?
Oh, my gosh.
Not bad.
On the pecking order, now I would tell you on the TNT pecking order, for what game they would want in the primetime spot, Dallas is the least. Sixers is the second.
Really?
Phoenix is the third. If it comes down to it, that the three games are game sevens.
I would think the Sixers have a bigger draw appeal nationally than the Suns.
Sixers are sitting second priority. Could it be timing?
Best team in the league.
Best team in the league, and they want them.
They don't really have that. I mean, I guess they do.
But if it's a game
sex
seven.
Appeal, you know what I mean?
If it's a game seven, expect it to be a night game, I would think, as long as Phoenix and Dallas close out. But if Phoenix and Dallas don't. If there were three game sevens, the Sixers probably fall into the second spot, which would be maybe a TNT, a 5 o'clock, I think, or something like that, maybe. They've been doing some of those. 5:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that wouldn't
could be
bad.
No, that wouldn't be bad. I'd be cool with that.
It's going to take away some prime card playing time. on Saturday because I'm not
feel for you.
I'm not coming back to
Sunday. There's no casinos around here. You can
oh
play.
My gosh. I mean, jeez. Well, I'm not leaving. I'm there. I would hate to. And when I'm there, I'm family.
Well, you got the envelope, so you got to spend it.
I have the envelopes,
right?
And I want to make sure that I properly have executed.
Oh, believe me. So when they see you sit down at the blackjack table, they say, "John, you're family."
It is. They welcome you in.
Yeah.
Do you label the envelopes?
Yes.
Like, what are they labeled?
Okay.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
why do you
Sunday.
Have to label? No, correct. It's because here it is. There is an envelope for Thursday. There's an envelope for Friday.
So on the front it says Thursday,
and it says,
Friday,
but it also has it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then Sunday, I give myself a little envelope before I leave. And then what you do is Thursday, when I hit the gambling floor, when I know I'm going to go to gamble, I go to the safe, I grab the Thursday envelope and take it with me. I use only the cash that's in that envelope that day. There's no other cash that I'm using to gamble. At the end of the day, if I'm up or I'm down, the money goes back in the Thursday envelope. It's sealed and it goes back in the safe. Friday, I start with the Friday envelope. The Thursday envelope may never be touched, Bob. There are rules to this thing. The Thursday envelope. So if I'm dragging on Friday and losing again, I can't go back and get the Thursday envelope and say I'm going to gamble with that money. That's coming home with me. Whatever's in the envelope from the day before is coming home with me. And almost every single trip, if I was to draw a, say, are you 150 down or 150 up at the end of my trip, almost every time I fall right in that range. I either bring the money I came with, I'm up, or I'm a little down. But I never lose big, and I don't tend to win big.
I like the strategy.
Not work.
No, yeah. It's really not.
That's for not, me. For somebody as lazy as me, it is. Yeah.
You take $500. You put $100
in my
each
pocket,
into an envelope,
and you say that's the money for that
and that's
day.
The money for that day. How's that difficult?
And what happens is too.
It's called self-discipline,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but here's
me,
what's going
to
happen.
Difficult.
Friday morning, we're going to sit down, and I'm going to be like, "What's in Thursday's envelope?" And I'm going to be like, "I'm $60 up." And then Friday night when I go to bed, I'll be $50 down. But I'll know in my head, sort of like, I remember I was
but
up
you'll
the
be
day
10
before,
bucks up.
And then it'll be like, no, but it's in the safe, so it's going home. But every single time, I never win big, and I never lose big. And that's always a good, like, I always feel if I come home pretty much with what I came with, then I had a great time. I don't want to just throw, I'm not the push everything into the one,
see,
let's go
I,
one hand.
I am.
I can't do that.
Like, if I had, say I was up like $200 on Friday before my flight, part of me would go, well, I kind of won, so why don't I see if I can make this 400? And I'd put 200 on black. And if it hit, I'd walk away. If I lost, I'd walk away, and I'd just wash my hands of it. I'm that kind of gambler.
Pat, you're not a gambler that much. You'll do sports betting, but yeah. You're not like a cards.
I'll be placing wagers before we leave because, believe it or not, the Vegas sports books are horrible.
Compared to
what we
we're
have
spoiled
here on
the apps.
We have the best. Well, with all of our apps of choice, my Bet Parks app, I mean, I love being able to, I can determine any odds I want.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, I was, last time we went to Vegas, I was texting Jamie to place bets for me because they weren't allowing you to play, like, same game parlays and whatnot. But I'll play blackjack for sure. I do like playing blackjack.
Now, do you like playing the new sort of stadium video one?
No, because that is all computerized.
Oh, no. The stadium one.
You're talking about, like, where they have somebody up there and you
yeah,
see,
he's on a podium
nah,
and you're watching on the.
That's lame.
You know, well, they did it for COVID.
I'm out on that.
You know what? I didn't mind it as long as I got to sit at third base. I didn't mind it. Like, I actually did because I wasn't as close to the person next to me at the table.
So if you have your choice, third base is where you want you take
I
every
never,
time.
No, I won't play if I'm not at third base.
Oh, you'll stalk it out.
Yes, it's as if Bob's figured this out already. Do you not realize there are, like, rules, Jamie? I've got rules. And the rules must be, if I don't sit at third base, I'm not sitting at the table.
Oh, God.
I will wait till I can get third base. And another thing that I love to do at the table.
I got
to
know why, though.
Because why I know, because that is the most influence on the hand winning for everybody is the person who sits at third base.
That's a lot of confidence
they
in
manipulate,
yourself.
They manipulate, well, it's somebody else can screw you up by doing something stupid sitting at third base last one. But also, too, go to a table. Hint, are you guys hate smoking?
Yeah.
I hate smoking.
I mean, I don't like
I
it.
I hate being at a table with people smoking.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Go to the table. If nobody is smoking, you can request the dealer makes it a non-smoking table, and a lot of people don't know that.
Ah, that's nice.
And then the dealer will put up a reach under and put, as long as nobody's smoking,
what?
You can say at a blackjack table,
right,
that nobody's smoking at the table. Just go, I would like this to be a non-smoking table.
Oh, really? That's cool.
And then they will put a thing on the table that's non-smoking. So when the guy comes down and starts with his cigarettes and you're like, Not this table.
Get out of here, scumbag.
As long as the person who makes the request doesn't leave the table, the sign stands.
You know, secondhand smoke here.
So there you go. Yeah, you don't have to. You know what I like is that you get the smoker, and he's smoking. Then he holds it like he's a like a 50s actress, and he holds it out because he doesn't want to smell his own smoke. He doesn't want it in front of him. And he puts the cigarette, and it's coming over to your side of the table. Like, dude, you sit in your own stink. Don't bring it to the table.
Who's watching the Phillies game with me tomorrow morning?
I will, but I'll probably sit by the fourth inning.
No. Yeah, maybe see you later. Bob, you're going to have to get some sleep.
You got
to
sleep,
why are you peer pressuring us to not?
Bob, we have to work for...
If you want to watch the game, watch the frigging game. We want to sleep. We're going to sleep together in the same bed.
Wait a minute. We're going to watch the Sixers together. We're going to watch the draft together.
It's a long day, Bob.
That's a perfect day if we could watch baseball, basketball, and football together.
God, Bob just loves sports so damn much,
like,
guys.
Seriously.
You don't get it.
And in between, we have a couple beers.
Pat, here's the prediction.
Beers and sports, Bobby.
Bob's show prep for Friday's going to really suck.
No. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be tired and overserved.
No, it'll be great because I'll be the one that actually watched everything.
He'll be tired and overserved.
Oh, here we go.
I promise you this. We will not be breaking down the Phillies-Rockies finale that closely.
Yeah, Zach Wheeler goes for a perfect game, I'm going to say I sat through it all.
Thanks to YouTube TV, I can just rewind.
Yeah, I'll just rewind.
Real fan you are.
We look forward to
watching the whole game. I am a real fan.
Act like you're coming with us. Come along. We'll see you out there. You'll be with us. Watch on YouTube. Listen. Hang out. Social media will be all over it. And we look forward to traveling out to Vegas for our draft coverage. We've been talking about it for a long time. It begins tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Support Life-Saving Cancer Research. Join us and our generous partners, H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. Love the Hoke Brothers. Getting involved. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. We look forward to seeing you. It's going to be great. We'll see you out in Vegas. You'll see us. John Kincaid Show. Have a great draft, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.